listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Got a million things on my mind. It's like getting deals online. Remember my time chasing these dollar signs, and you ain't no crime. You like to find me up in the MGM casino in the D. Fucking not Fetty, I could have put on proper tea. From the bank to the Merton Mitter, my niggas put murder missions. She chooses. That's her decision. Free my niggas in prison.
Hey! Welcome to the Blackout Tips podcast. Your host, Rod and
Karen.
And we're in the house on a Wednesday. Recapping Game of Thrones Wednesday. It's time for them thrones, y'all. And of course, we couldn't do this without, you know, reaching out to one of our favorite people. You know, I think you should be familiar with her voice. She's been on the show several times. Mm-hmm. Been on their show several times. Mm-hmm. It's Nick Jew from What's the Tea, aka the Bay from the Bay, aka Bay Bay. What's going on?
You got what I mean? What's up? I am happy to be here.
I'm excited too. Just tell me when to go, okay?
I'm going back to the Bay this weekend too, so I'm acting real silly.
Turn up, okay?
Yeah, turn up. I got on Insecure. Roger got me caught up because I've been listening to y'all. Oh, so now when y'all say bouch, I know what y'all talking about. I was listening on what happened to the sea.
I was so excited to have her caught up.
I was so confused.
Karen growing up so fast, she know her ABBs, everything.
Come on.
Do y'all f***ing Bear Bears?
Yeah, of course.
Yes, we know about that.
You know about them Bear Bears. But how you been?
I'm good. You know, just out here working and trying to get this premium podcast stuff out here to give people their money worth.
Oh yeah, they change when you start charging, don't they?
Right.
It's a new game. It's a different game. Can't be late. Can't be late.
Right.
They be showing up like the Iron Bank. Like, hey,
hey, hey, dog.
I think it's funny how.
Right. Oh, okay. Don't take my little money and not put out no show. Okay.
What I just want
to. Famous, so I had to get creative. So we have a new interview show where it'll either be me hosting or Reggie hosting, and maybe sometimes both of us. So that's on premium. We're doing that Insecure rap on our premium, and just like we try to put stuff over there that's time sensitive because people are always like, I love your show, but I don't watch XYZ, so I'm behind or I had to skip. So we moving all that stuff behind the paywall.
That's dope. That's smart.
Mm-hmm.
Because if not, you know, people show up. What are we? You know, just want to know.
And I see you shining with your new haircut. I love your haircut.
I'm just trying to be like you, Karen.
What? No, I'm trying to be like you, girlfriend, honey. You got that tat on the arm. I seen it shining when you was on screen. I was like, what can I be like that when I grow up?
Yeah, I just was like, I'm about to cut off all my hair. I haven't had short hair since 1996.
Hey.
And, you know, new hair, new life.
I hear you.
Come
that's
on.
How you, that's how you got to do it, man.
And all this heat, honey, you feel great. I tell people, I love it.
Flip it up. Well, listen, you guys should already be listening. I feel like this is kind of redundant, but honestly, some of you stragglers out there, you should be listening to What's the Tea, man. It comes out every week. They got bonus episodes with the premium. You can follow on Twitter. You can either follow, of course, Nick Jew is at Nick Jew, J-U. You know, Nick, N-I-C-J-U. All one word. You can also follow Reggie, who's R to the Edgy. And it's all Ebonics, like the number 2 and D-A Edgy. And then, of course, they have their own Twitter for their show, which is Good Day Saints. So make sure you guys check all that stuff out. Because, like I said, the podcast is amazing. And we're fans and friends with them. So,
yes. Thank you.
Nah, no problem, man. And, of course, this is the Blackout Tips. Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, all those places. Leave us 5-star reviews. The official weapon of the show is
the taser.
And unofficial sport
is bullet ball.
And bullet ball.
The bullet ball extreme.
Extreme. And of course, this podcast is sponsored. It's brought to you by Shadow Dog Productions. Shadow Dog Productions is going to be uploading a lot of new videos to their YouTube channel, so you guys can really pick them up by going to YouTube, their YouTube channel, which is Shadow, go to youtube.com, and then of course Shadow Dog Production is what they're under there as. Just watch it, like it, comment, leave a thumbs up, you know, little stuff. It helps out. It's an easy way to support a sponsor of the Blackout Tips that's been down with us like A1 from day one. And they not asking for much, you know, just a little click, a little share, a little something, a little comment. And, you know, they appreciate y'all doing that. So Shadow Dog Production on YouTube, I'll make sure the link is also in the show notes. And they have stuff on there, like behind the scenes interviews with me and Karen and Chris is on there and all kinds of stuff back there. It's kind of exciting if you guys listen to our audio plays. I don't even have a copy for Loot Crate, so we'll do that Sunday because they need to send me that August copy because I don't know what's in the box. Sunday we'll open up a new box.
Cool.
All right, let's get into you know, some of the stuff that everybody is actually here for, which is of course Game of Thrones. I know you niggas want to talk about it, but we can't do Game of Thrones without first talking about what's affecting us black people out here, because I know what happens, a lot of white people come back, our numbers go up a few thousand.
Yes they do.
You know, some white people not even ashamed, they really just be like, I'm back. Yep, it's me. Is you are who I, Rod, you talking about me? I like, they tagged me to their Instagram post like, it's, I don't be paying attention or caring about these black people, and then Game of Thrones come around, I'll be like, oh, that crack is back. So we gotta talk about a little bit of fucking with black people on our end. And I feel like it's kind of apropos because it kind of goes along with Game of Thrones in this case, because it's all about outbreaks and diseases, and I feel like Game of Thrones has a lot of diseases in it, a lot of outbreaks.
Yes, sir.
A lot of, you know, a lot of questionable medical practices if you look at Jorah's skin, you know. So I feel like there's no better place to start than on the Blackout Tips with fucking with black people. I'm not even gonna play the music, just gonna get right into it. Racism at DC hospitals could set the stage for successful bioterror attack. Yes. Might racism ourselves into the plague. Yes, that could happen.
Yeah, I believe that. And if we don't racism ourselves in there, we'll whitewash ourselves in there from them folks just be like, hey, I don't want my child to be vaccinated.
Racism in hospitals is so pervasive, we recorded an instance by accident, an editor seeking assistance with toxicity. A hospital in a major city, which will not be named because national security purposes related to the article, lied about levels of substance present in blood and did not properly report to poison control, ground zero for record epidemics, for recording epidemics. Nearly all African Americans were ejected from the emergency room under specious premises that night. The National Institute of Health, in cooperation with the National Center for Biotech Information, has published a paper on the growing rise of terror attack by plague. Terrorists also run tests for blind spots to determine the route of epidemiology. Josh Cooley, a former 74 Delta in the United States Army, who also studies chemistry at Washington University, said, a 74 Delta is a chemical, biological, radiological, and nuclear specialist with domestic units created after 9/11. Smugness, a sense you know everything because of entitlement, is one of the best blind spots of all, which is why we predict in the Army the next major attack worse than 9/11 will start in concentric circles out from an affluent neighborhood or university, Cooley said. According to a study underway at the University of Texas Austin, 45% of a BIOO of blacks and Latinos who died in emergency rooms would have been saved if they were white. This dismissal of communities of color has already played a role in the opioid epidemic, with the majority of addicts being Caucasian because emergency rooms do not prescribe opioid as painkillers to blacks and Latinos in emergency rooms, according to a recent study by the National Institute of Health.
Because we have a quote-unquote higher tolerance of pain.
By not recognizing communities of color as equals, hospitals in major cities such as Washington, D.C. and New York also set the stage for a bioterror attack, beginning in the community of color, being ignored, and then spreading throughout the population because it's too late, in the same manner the opioid epidemic spread. In terms of an airborne bio threat, the scenario is substances released inside subway tunnels. The bio threat could be released in Washington Heights or even a more isolated section in New York City, with people of color coming into hospitals in rich white areas, then being completely ignored as the threat moves down the tunnel. This is the same scenario in which cesium used in a dirty bomb would be used in a terror attack. And they go on and on, but essentially just saying, like, overlooking black people and faking test results and shit like that, so you don't have to
report your numbers
and shit, could lead to oversight medically that could put the entire society at risk.
Yeah, they don't give a fuck.
Mm-hmm. 0 to 100, Karen.
Oh, 100. I forgot we was playing. 100.
Mm-hmm. Nick Jew.
Oh, 100.
All right. John Singleton defends R. Kelly, saying he just has a bunch of girlfriends. He just has a bunch of girlfriends. John Singleton, I've been watching Snowfall. I was rooting for you. What happened, bro? What's going on, buddy? You don't want me to like you?
I guess not.
He's weighing in on the R. Kelly controversy, claiming that comparisons between Kelly and Bill Cosby are not fair. Singleton told TMZ Kelly was not misunderstood and seen to downplay the story, saying he has a bunch of girlfriends. You know, a lot of people have a bunch of girlfriends.
Did they keep captive in their house that they caught from the age of 12 and 13? Them girlfriends?
He continued on to say the women that he's with are adult women. They made the decision to be with him. You know, they know what they're getting into, so I don't see what the controversy is really about. He said that Kelly doesn't deserve to be treated like Cosby at all, and that's a whole different situation.
Oh, okay.
Zero to
100. Oh, 100, and it's rare. You know, I think, what is it? Who is the dude that did the Mars movie, Matt Damon?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he on my I do not watch nothing he do list, and he about to be on that I do not watch nothing you do list. And my list is small right now. It's just Matt by himself.
Yeah. Nick Jew?
100.
Yeah, I gotta give him 100 too. I feel fucked with. I don't know what the disconnect is, because they know that this dude has a history of pedophilia. They know that he just preying on these quote unquote on the laws in these states. Some of these women are 16, 17 and shit, and he starts grooming them before that. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? He just sound like a nigga that didn't even read the article and was already trying to defend R. Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
Because that article was long as shit, and I know a lot of people just read, like, they just overheard a couple things, like, oh, I'm good on it. Michelle Obama on the toll of racism and sexism. Small tiny cuts every single day. Michelle Obama has opened up about what it was like to deal with racism while living and working in the White House. While her husband gets most of the credit for breaking political glass ceilings, Obama was a trailblazer in her own right as the first black first lady. Speaking to her time in the White House, Obama revealed that the role opened her up to criticism that often veered into full-on racist insults. In short, punching through all those glass ceilings came at an emotional price. No black people were surprised by this. The shards that cut me the deepest were the ones that intended to cut, she told the crowd, knowing that after 8 years of working really hard for this country, there are still people who won't see me for what I am because of my skin color. Obama specifically referenced how racially charged attacks like the ones that called her an ape and focused on her body personally hurt her. It's a surprising reveal considering how much the Obama family had during their time in the White House focused on maintaining poise and positivity. Obama's speech at 2016 Democratic National Convention highlighted this approach as she told the audience, our motto is when they go low, we go high. Yeah, you know what's funny? People keep using that almost against her, or they might not think it's against her, but they'll do the like, they go low, I ain't going high. You know, like they say that shit, but she was specifically talking about during the campaign some of the shit that was coming out of there from Donald Trump. And she was right. The Democrats couldn't have campaigned as dirty as them. Like, it just was what it was at the time. It wasn't, you know, this nigga out here, like, literally telling people to hit people at a fucking protest and shit, you're not going to outlaw that. You can't outlaw a Donald Trump. You know, so it was just, you know, he's talking about grabbing women by their pussy. You must be bleeding out of it. Like, what was the low that everybody was like, we supposed to go to that was going to beat Donald Trump that way? I just want to know, you know, so I thought that was kind of whack when people, the revisionist history of like, you know, like she said that shit on some respectability shit. And that's not what that was about. The decision to speak publicly about her feelings and experience was, Obama said, in an effort to remind people that they are accountable for their language and actions. So this will make Michelle Obama having one more public appearance and admonishment of the way that we treat each other and the way that we talk to people online and stuff than the sitting first lady who said that that's what she was going to do as her number one focus as first lady of the United States was she was going to admonish online bullying.
Who believed?
So
you stupid if you believe that. I was like, she ain't gonna do shit.
That's why Michelle Obama's still my first lady.
Mm-hmm. And I girl finish writing your book. I want your book. I'm gonna buy five copies.
Mm-hmm. So also she goes on to say let's see, Obama made her remarks at the Women's Foundation women, we endure these cuts in so many ways that we don't even notice we're cut. She said, we are living with small tiny cuts and we are bleeding every single day. Obama made her remarks at the Women's Foundation of Colorado's 30th anniversary event at the Pepsi Center in Denver, the very place where her husband accepted his nomination as a Democratic presidential candidate in 2008. Unsurprisingly, Obama turned her candid comments into a call to empowerment. According to the Denver Post, she went on to tell event attendees that despite how deeply those cuts hurt, they go on to heal, and that women who own those wounds and scars can help your younger girls who are in the midst of their first cuts. Speaking directly to younger women, Obama told audience members to not despair in your teenage years. Even if you're bullied, the best is yet to come. I'm living my best years in my 50s. In true Obama fashion, she also spoke to the heart and spirit, not just women, but the country as a whole, encouraging Americans not to give up their nation despite the current polarizing political climate. The people in this country are universally good and kind and honest and decent, she said. Don't be afraid of the country you live in. The folks here are good. So 0 to 100, Karen.
Zero for her speaking, but 100 for, you know, the topic.
What about you, Nick Jew?
Yeah, that's a zero for me. Like, just, and I also want everybody to leave her alone and stop asking her to run for president. Like, just let her have her life back.
Yeah, I agree. Same for you, zero. You know, I don't think Michelle can say anything that'll get her more than a zero from me, because. She's bae and everything. I got a Michelle Obama calendar. Like, it's real in these streets, okay?
And I'm gonna get one forever. They got enough pictures of them. We know an Obama calendar gonna come out forever. Obama gonna be like Martin Luther King. He gonna die, and people still gonna be having Obama fans and Obama calendars.
Real talk. I was looking at my Michelle Obama calendar last night. I almost put the picture on Twitter, but took this picture last night of the calendar because I was just like, look at bae over there just. Getting her man right. Like, boy, you got something on your chin. You're like, I'm just drooling looking at you. All right. That's enough. It's time to get into what everybody wants to hear us get into, and that of course is Game of Thrones. Let me pull up the wiki. I should have done that a long time ago. And I should also pull up the music for this shit too. At any rate, let me play the song. First of all, this is episode 3 out of the only 7 that we getting for season 7. It was entitled The Queen's Justice, And it got a 9.25 million rating, which is the ratings for Game of Thrones for a paid subscription service are ridiculous. It's really ridiculous at this point.
And they'd be like, we got your shit. And they'd be like, oh, we don't care. People are still going to watch it in HD.
Yeah. So I'll go around the room. Karen, what'd you think about this episode, The Queen's Justice?
It was good.
It was good. All right. Nick Ju, what about you?
Yo, I'm so glad to be here to talk about this particular episode. It was so good.
Yeah, and I have to round out the room. I mean, I feel like we say the same thing every week, but it was real good. I don't know what to say, man. They've stayed delivering. I kind of like this format, by the way, of less episodes in the season, because I feel like they cut the bullshit out.
Right. You don't have, I'm not gonna say filler, but you don't bounce around as much, and it's like now they're towards the end, so you're not being introduced to a whole bunch of new characters you got to learn, a whole bunch of new spots on the map you got to learn. It's like, hey, the characters are established. We getting ready to just ride y'all on to the end.
Yeah, niggas is dying, so that's helping.
Come on.
You know, I'm one of those people that I'm the opposite of a lot of people that hate. I hate when they kill people. I'm like, no. Kill more people. It's too kill many them. Of y'all niggas to remember, okay? They made a joke the other day about the Tarly, his son being named Dickon, and I was like, you know what? Yeah. I wouldn't mind seeing him die too. Another motherfucker that, another name I can't remember that sounds like some other name I can't remember. Kill his ass. Bye. Mom. So yeah, at any rate, I am kind of, excited about, how they're wrapping this up. And then traveling and sending messages are taking so much shorter compared to what they were the season before this. And we need that. Like, that shit was killing me when it would be like, I'm leaving to go to the south, and then we don't see this nigga till episode 7, and you're like, what happened to 6 episodes between, like, come on, John, let's go. Like, now it's just like, I'm going there, and then the next week I'm here, like, good. Let's do it.
Everything traveling fast. The horses done sped up, everything moving.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I know people are complaining about like how fast Euron built them ships or whatever. I'm like, I don't care. Right. Let's go. Right.
Who gives a fuck? I don't want to spend a whole season watching them cut lumber.
Maybe they got 3D printers. We don't know.
Right.
You know, well, let's not assume. So I've broken this down into three, four different, places as always. Well, as the last three episodes have been. The Citadel, the North, King's Landing, and Dragonstone. Karen, what do you want to do first?
Let the guest speak.
Oh, Nick Ju, what do you want to do first?
Let's go to the Citadel.
Let's do the Citadel. Citadel was easy, man. It was a short one. We cut to Jorah's prison cell medical bed, whatever. He locked in there, so it's a cell.
Right.
And he looking mad splotchy, but all the alkaline is out of his diet. And he is healed. He's, you know, I guess rubbing that Vicks on his chest or whatever it was.
It fixed everything. Rubbing that Tussin fixes everything.
Some oatmeal Sam put on him, whatever it was. Sam has healed him, and the Meister is up in there with Sam, and he looking like, it's funny how you heal by yourself and no medical. It's almost as if someone would have taken a medical textbook and read that you supposed to use metal instruments to scrape the skin off and then apply ointment that would heal the person. It's almost as if that happened, but one can never know. Anyway, you healed, you free to go. And Joy was like, I don't know, it must have just been the rest, you know. Plus the climate up here is real good, you know, it could be the air. And
like humidity word, right? As long as we've been here,
he was like, Sam, can I talk to you?
I just started feeling better, like, nigga.
Mm-hmm. Right. Meanwhile, it's probably skin scrapers all over the floor. And Sam was like, the Meister was like, Sam, can I see you in my office later? And Joel was like, what's gonna happen to you? And he was like, I don't know, I guess I'll find out when I get in the office. And Sam was like, what you about to get into, Joel? And Joel was like, well, you know me, nigga, I'm going back to the friend zone.
Come on.
Where I came from. I gotta go find my bae and give her the puppy dog eyes. And then Sam did something I thought would never happen on the show again. He shook Joel's hand without a glove on.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That's some good work, because your boy would have been like, bye.
Like that beauty queen with the little African children.
Yes.
Had your surgical gloves on.
I almost made that joke on Twitter, but I knew these niggas wasn't ready, so I
was like, but why he put on the same shirt from before?
Right, he put on his AIDS shirt, dog.
Right, he could have got a new shirt.
Right, that shirt got rock herpes, dog. It's gotta be some rules against that. But now he put it on and he left. And then in the office, the Meister was like, Sam, didn't I tell you not to exfoliate that nigga?
I told you not to put the sugar scrub on. What's happening here?
Didn't I say not to put the Black Sea mask on his face?
Come on.
You just gonna, it's funny how you could just do whatever you want to do around here, huh? You just fast, ain't you? And Sam was like, yeah, I guess so. He's like, well, you know what, dog? You actually did a good job. It's only a few people in the world that could have done that procedure. And you really put everybody at risk, because if you had fucked up even a little bit, you could have killed everybody in here and they would have got that disease too. So why don't you come over here with me? And he was like, and get to work copying these old rotted manuscripts by hand. And Sam was like, for real, dog? He was like, oh, you thought you was gonna get an award? The award is you not getting kicked out.
Right. The award is you ain't losing your tuition.
Right. You and Gilly can still stay in that studio apartment that you got.
Right, that flat.
Right. And then he told him, watch out for the paper mites, because they like flesh too. Peace. And then that was the end.
And you know what? In my opinion, I think he's gonna fuck around and learn something writing them scrolls and shit. He gonna find something else for John in there. I mean, cause them scrolls is old as shit. And I bet you these ain't pictures.
They wouldn't keep him up there if there was nothing else for him to learn or do. So,
that's true.
I figure there's something he can do up there. In the north, which is another short one, in Winterfell, Sansa is discovering that they ain't got enough food for everybody in the north to come to Winterfell and stay. So she was like, completely in charge, by the way. Like, there was no quibbling. She wasn't frustrated. She wasn't like, oh my God, all this leadership. She was looking like, I should be in control. I'm making the right decision. She said, all the other castles need to get grain and start shipping it to Winterfell. And if we get attacked, they're gonna come to Winterfell, because it's the most defensible position in the north,
right,
from any direction. So people will head there, and they ain't gonna have time to bring the grain with them while they're under attack from White Walkers. So just bring some grain now, and then if you guys if we don't need it and you don't need to come here and you don't need to stay, we'll just give you the grain back at the end of the season, because we don't really need it for all of us, but we will need it if y'all come here.
Right. And you know, she was walking around doing inventory and shit. She learned. She looked like, hey, I'm looking at uniforms. Uniforms don't look right. Yeah, add some to that shirt right there.
Yeah, she was like the really tough manager at IHOP, you know.
What?
It's like
the manager, you'd be like, God damn.
Sir, you know, your name tag's on the left side, supposed to be on the right, guys. We always greet them with a smile at IHOP and all that shit.
Yeah, she didn't want to walk around going, you got time to lean, you got time to clean. You'd be like, bitch.
Right. She didn't know. She noticed, she had like three or four dudes over her shoulder. Of course, one of them was Littlefinger. And she noticed that the armor that somebody was building wasn't covered with leather. She was like, nigga, you know we're gonna be fighting in the snow. It's gonna be cold. Put some leather on that shit. And they was like, oh, right on it, Lady Sansa, and all this shit.
Right, so the shit can bend. Y'all gonna be bricks out there.
Right. And then after a couple people took orders for her and they had to leave to go do what she told them to do, Littlefinger was, of course, still over her shoulder. And then he pulled her to the side.
I told that nigga to beat it.
He was like, all your stuff is pointed to the north, but you need to be worried about the south and Cersei. And she was like, are you about to tell me that the woman who killed my mother, father, and brother is dangerous? Because I think I already know.
Right.
Yeah. Well, say it again, Nick Joe. I'm sorry.
Like, I live with her. I know her hateful ass ways, nigga. You don't have to tell me.
Right. Like, how you think you know her better than me? Like, I actually do know her. Okay.
Yeah, she's almost like the joke killer. Every time he comes, she was like, nigga, I already know the line. Ha ha. Let's get past the bullshit.
I saw your stand up special. Don't run none of your bits on me. So she was like, thanks for nothing. Then he pulled her to the side and basically told her, like, you need to expect the unexpected. Like, you need to see everything from all angles. And if you imagine everything every way, and you'll never be surprised when somebody does something for you, you'll always be ready. And then she was looking like, yeah, okay, dog. And then right about then, the dude showed up and was like, it's the unexpected at the gate. And then Sansa went to the gate. And the way they filmed this, I think, was supposed to be make people feel like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. We finally got Arya back in Winterfell.
I thought it was Arya.
Right. It was not. It was Bran. Yeah. I mean, they cut to Mira. And I saw, and I was like, oh, it's Bran. Because if Mira was there, what the fuck would she be there with Arya for? But they definitely showed the top of the brown hair from the back to make you feel like, but no, it was Bran. But I mean, it's still good. She ain't seen Bran since, like,
when she got pushed out the tower.
Because I think she left Winterfell when that nigga was laid up. So she ain't seen him in a minute. Mm-mm. And so they had like a little tearful reunion, you know, and they go sit down by the face tree and shit. The one where Sansa got married at and all that shit. And she was like, you know, you the Lord of Winterfell now, because you Ned Stark's oldest living son of his, you know, with his last name. And he was like, I can't be the Lord of Winterfell because I'm the Three-Eyed Raven.
Right, he was like, I'm not the one.
And she was like, who? And he was like, yeah,
I can't explain it.
Yeah, I'm the Three-Eyed Raven.
And she was like, what? And I know Roger joked about this. She gave the explanation, like Will Smith's Jaden Smith.
Way to fuck up my joke. He basically turned into Jaden Smith is what was happening. Because she was trying to get him to explain what happened to him and what he had been into. And he was just saying, like, once you go in, you always come out alive. And I watch Twilight every night. Dying is mainstream. Hashtag money.
I know. He was like, what you see, you can't unsee. What you unsee, you can't see. She was like, what? 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 What are we talking about here?
Most trees are blue, I believe, was something he said.
Yes!
I hope it doesn't take for me to die for you to see what I do for you. You know, it was a lot of dope things like that.
A lot of deep thinking.
Lately, people call me Scoop Life. You know, he was saying that.
Ha, ha, ha!
Why is it always three? Why is it always 3-5 exclamation points? I mean, you know, it's things that he was saying that I don't know that everybody could relate to, but he was like, you know, it was funny because he sounded like Littlefinger. He was like, I see everything at the same time and every scenario coming together like pieces, and I need to see better because when the long night comes, I'm gonna need to, they're gonna need me or something like that, so I can never be the king of Winterfell. And she was like, who taught you all this? And he was like, the Three-Eyed Raven. She was like, but you said that you was a Three-Eyed Raven. And he's like, I know. Then
she was so confused.
Then he explained to her that he was like, I can see everything, like how beautiful you were on your wedding night under this tree in all white. And she was like, actually, I gotta go, because that's the same night that Ramsay raped her. So I'm pretty sure she was like, let's not get into all the details, let's just move on to some other lighter topics. You hang out by this tree,
right? She bust that way. You know, I'm gonna reclaim my time and go this direction.
Yeah, he was like, I'm just gonna sit here for a while. Which I mean,
hey, where you was gonna go? Right. And it wouldn't be surprising, depending on, because we've just seen bits and pieces of what he's seen. We haven't seen like everything that he's seen. So it wouldn't surprise me if he fuck around and Littlefinger getting in him, he start telling Littlefinger the shit he been doing.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. I mean, he do got the, but see, I think Littlefinger stabbed that little nigga in the chest. But anyway, he said he want to talk to Jon. I did notice that, because he probably won't tell Jon about his birth. You know, so I'm hoping that the nigga around when Jon get back. But I don't,
the way him and his MVP, he liable to be up and off again, flying somewhere else.
Maybe you could plug into that face tree.
Where he gonna go? Mira tired of dragging his ass around the Seven Kingdoms.
Right. I haven't seen a woman tired of dragging somebody like that since Black Twitter and Tommy Lauren. Was just, it was too much. Now, you know, it's funny, like, I still feel like wherever he's at, that means the Night King and the White Walkers can come across the wall after he touched him in that dream. So I feel like they should get him out of there anyway, because you don't want the Night King coming to Winterfell.
Right.
I think Bran got that tree PS something going on.
You know what? I think he walking around with spotty Wi-Fi. I can get it here, but I can't get it here.
Right.
And it wouldn't surprise me if he eventually ends up out there with the Wildlings somehow.
At the wall?
Yeah.
I don't know what he gonna do, man, because I'm like, what are his powers, and can they help fight the Night King? Because now he's just a nigga that see shit. You know what I mean? If all you do is see shit, that's not really helpful.
Oh, he already at the wall, because he had to crawl. He had to pass
the wall. Yeah, he crossed the wall already.
Okay.
He in the wall. I mean, he passed the wall, but I think that means the Night King and them can get in.
Yep.
Because the Night King and them couldn't get in that cave, and then all of a sudden,
because when
he touched Bran, and then the nigga could get in the cave. So I'm like, what the fuck is the rules, dog? But anyway, that's all that happened up there. So then finally we got King's Landing and Dragonstone. Both of these are pretty long. I will go with King's Landing first, and then I'll do Dragonstone. So in King's Landing, Euron trots Yara, Alaria, and Tyene, which is Alaria's only... the only one of the Sand Snakes that was Alaria's daughter by birth.
Right.
And they go through, they're getting trotted through the town, you know, Main Street in King's Landing.
They were doing Cersei's route.
Right.
Cersei's parade route.
All the people was out there, you know, ready to throw, which, okay, if those people were telling the truth in the bar with Arya, when she overheard them talking, the merchants that were going to King's Landing, isn't King's Landing supposed to be the hood now? Like, they broke... Right. These niggas was throwing food at people, man. That must be like that. They must be that United States broke.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, United States broke ain't like some of the other places in the world.
Yeah, I'm broke, but I'm fat. You know what I mean? Like, I can afford to eat and shit. You know, I'm good, but I'm, you know, I can't go out to the movies no more.
Right.
Because
we still owe China $11 trillion, but we good.
Right. Like, we Gucci. I mean, if you want to do some entertainment shit, we got you, but...
Yeah, my tax bracket went down, but I'm still good, though.
Yeah, China gonna be looking like, why, well, you get them new Jordans, but, you know, other than that... they were throwing food at him. I'm assuming it was iceberg lettuce, because there's a lot of lettuce.
Oh, yeah, it was iceberg. They ain't throwing the good romaine lettuce. That's the good lettuce.
And Euron's on his horse, and they walking through the streets, walking all these women through the streets tied up. And of course they were lined, people was lined up, and they were marching towards the Red Keep. Now they didn't do the thing where they were naked. It wasn't like the Sept thing where it was like, you know, shame. This was just this wasn't their punishment. It was just part of like taking your, it was like taking a trophy. It was like the Golden State Warriors parade holding the trophy.
Right.
Going through San Francisco.
In Oakland.
Euron Greyjoy was, he was on his horse like, we seen they ships. Yup.
Draymond Greyjoy.
Yeah. Theon jumped off the side. Yup. he pulled a yard to him and was like, man, this shit make my dick hard. Remember when, and by the way, I can't lie, I cackled so hard when I watched this, but when he said, he was like, man, the look on your brother's face when he got ready to jump off the side of the ship. Did you see it? It was so funny. He was, oh no.
I was like, this nigga got jokes.
That oh no was priceless. I almost, and I probably will go get it and add it to our soundboard at some point, because it was so good. It was oh no. I noticed the Doo Doo Mafia dude wasn't out there this time though, so that was good. You know, they classed the joint up a little bit.
Just because they had clothes on.
Just rotted cabbage, you know. And so he takes all the prisoners to the courtroom for Cersei's justice, you know.
And my thing is this, how you gonna ride the horse out? I don't want no horse in my castle. I mean, he literally rode the horse into the castle.
He really did. And then he just dropped him off at the steps and was like, I'm giving you what no other man could give you. And then he looked over at Jamie like, bitch nigga. And then she was like, you know what, you deserve a reward. And he was like, you know, the only reward I want. And then she was like, keep playing, you gonna get it, boy. You know, this war is won, you better watch out. And then she went and addressed the crowd to be like, shout out to Euron, he brought these fools here, these are, you know, the Snakes of Dorne and the head of the Greyjoy Armory, and we about to, you know, fuck these niggas up, you know, we winning this war. And everybody's like, yay. But on the side, Euron was standing next to Jaime, and he was like, man, all this love the people got for me, of course you wouldn't know what it felt like. And Jaime was like, these are the same people that threw shit in Cersei's face like last season, so they fuck these people,
right?
And Euron was like, well, you know what, dog, they just like, he was like, they cheer for, Jamie said they'll cheer for anybody whose head is a severed head on a pike. And then Euron was like, that's cool, like it don't,
I ain't got a problem with that.
Like, I'm cool with them celebrating any, I'm like that too, sever some heads, let's do it. And so then Euron was like, hey man, by the way, as now that we about to be brothers, let me ask you a question. Does Cersei like a finger up the ass when she have sex? And Euron look like a put his finger in your ass without asking ass nigga too.
Come on, dog. And I declare, every time I see him, I hear that music play.
Oh yeah, man, damn, I should have had the music up.
Yeah,
sorry.
Every time I see him, I see that music play, and he was like, yeah, he be like, Jamie, it's a booty hole.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, yeah. The whole time they was going up, and then he was trying to make my dick hot. I was like, oh, that's even worse. Yeah, you definitely say thinking that.
Right. So yeah, he was all up in Jamie's, you know, Jamie's such a knight and dignified in public and all this shit and kind of uptight.
You can't get no infection in your booty hole. It's a booty hole.
And Euron is the exact opposite of Jamie in front of everybody.
Right. He was like, I don't give a damn.
Right. He was looking at Cersei the whole time, with his hand on his dick.
Hey, you. What them stank hoes do? Hardy mouth.
This nigga.
That's what Jamie was. This nigga.
Right.
So then he was like, but you could tell me later, cause you know, we in public right now. And then Jamie was looking like, nigga, I'll slap the fuck out of you. And he was like, shh, don't answer now, we'll talk later.
He was like, you ain't got to tell me the secret right now.
So then, he took, Yara and left. And then Cersei
was kind of playing into it too, though. She leaned over to him like, you gonna have whatever you want.
Soon as I win this war. Meanwhile, you know, she gonna play. She'll kill the fuck out this nigga.
Come on.
She ain't never married no nigga that's not her brother.
Come on.
You got Jamie out here looking stupid a little bit. Like, how you gonna let the next man think he finna get some?
Right. So then Cersei goes down to the dungeon room, and they got Ilaria and Tyene tied up. And Cersei gloating over Ilaria, start bringing up old shit like, oh, you know, Oberyn, he looked so good that day that he died. He was dancing on their ass. He was celebrating. And shit, nobody could beat him. He would have beat the mountain if he wouldn't have did all that touchdown dancing, come celebrating.
Mm-hmm.
And then she was like, you know, and I know it had hurt when you seen him, because that shit bothered me. The sound of his head crushing like a fucking watermelon or whatever.
Yeah, she had jokes.
And then she started talking about how much she loved Marcella, and it was like such a rich white woman way of saying she loved her, because she was like, I even breastfed her myself, even after the maids told me to stop breastfeeding. I said, nope, I got it. And I was like, that's, I mean, I guess you deserve an Oscar for that. I don't know.
Because normally we don't do this. We let the hands do this. So because I was willing to make such a sacrifice with my precious breast, I deserve.
Right. That's how you know I loved her for real. So then she was like, and Tyeen, she looked so beautiful. You know, like you kill, and then like she, the thing is, she was gloating for a minute, but she really, Lena Headley, I think is her name. Mm-hmm. Man, she be acting her ass off.
Don't she?
She had this moment in the middle of her gloating revenge celebration, which is a speech you can tell she practiced every day in the mirror when she woke up.
Mm-hmm.
But she had this, moment where she goes, why did you do that? When she talked about how she poisoned Marcella, and that shit felt so real.
Mm-hmm.
Like it felt like when Jackie Christie was questioning Evelyn about why she went on her estranged daughter's Instagram page and donated some money.
Come on,
it felt like it wasn't for the cameras no more. It was really like, why did you do that? That's why your daughter is a build a thought. That's what she called her.
Whoa.
That's right. Basketball Wives, LA, every Monday, 9 p.m. VH1. That's what y'all missing. At any rate, she's like, listen, you killed my daughter, and look at your daughter. She's so beautiful. She looked, you know, such Dornish good looks. Is she your favorite? I know we're not supposed to have favorites as moms, but you know, we be having favorites. I could tell she probably your favorite. And she was like, these are all the ways I thought about having, you know, you killed. I thought the mountain could come down here, crush your head like he did Oberyn's head. I thought about having him take your daughter, crush her head in front of you like a duck egg. But that's just too bad of a fate for such a pretty face. And I would never do that. And then she said it must. And before this, she had told Tyeen, like, it must, you know, be horrible with that thing over your mouth. Well, you can't talk. So she took the thing off of her mouth and then she kissed her on the mouth. And right then, I think everyone in the room had the same realization, which is Cersei never wears bright red lipstick. Oh shit.
She's normally nude. I mean, like nude for white women. When they go nude, they don't mean us. They mean white folks, nude.
I knew Mac had a sale Saturday.
Come on.
I thought that's what it was. The free giveaway, but right. No,
mm-mm.
It was not. Apparently she been shopping at the same counter that Ilaria was shopping at, because she done got the poison lipstick just like Ilaria had. And she was like, you know, Qyburn is quite, you know, quite an ingenious dude. He was able to look at Marcella, figured out what poison he gave her, and he gave me the same thing. It's called The Long Goodbye. It was funny because like Qyburn was
Red 52.
Qyburn was just sitting there co-signing. Like he was like, yes, The Long Goodbye. And then she was like,
I'm great with the makeup.
She's like, that was the name, right? And then she was drinking that. She, you know, Cersei, of course, drank the antidote to it. And she was like, yeah, and death is certain. He's like, oh, quite certain. Yes, my lady. she was like, well, now you just gonna sit and watch your daughter die real slow. Y'all gonna be chained up. And her face is gonna turn to starvation and dust. And if you try not to eat, we're gonna have our people come down here and force feed you. And can we make sure to have some guards come in here and change the torches every couple hours? I want to make sure that she sees every moment of this. And then you're gonna stay down here for the rest of your day. So bye. And I thought that was amazing.
I know we're supposed to hate Cersei. Like I know we are. And I do. However, Ilaria did not have to kill Mycella. Like that was so unnecessary.
That's
Cersei
everybody
didn't kill Oberyn. Basically killed himself. And like, this is the worst possible thing you could do to somebody. And Cersei, like, came down with that pink ass lipstick on. And can I speak to the manager haircut? And was like, yeah. I spoke to the manager. And this is what we finna do.
And the manager gave me this color.
It was so good. It was so good. And hopefully they don't get sued for that, because I think that's copyright infringement on the way that Taylor Swift wants to kill Katy Perry. So
no.
So we can only hope that because Taylor is litigious. Okay, so hopefully Game of Thrones showrunners don't get sued.
I mean, did Cersei come out with her new red lipstick the same time Melania did? Like, no, what you ain't gonna do. In fact, drop my whole line of makeup.
Yeah, I feel so conflicted because I know Cersei is bad, but I don't hate her. Like,
I respect her petty.
Right? It's like she's had enough shit be fucked up for her that part of me is like, well, this is just what happens after you damage a person for so long. But is she evil? Of course she's evil.
Yeah, she is.
She's not a good person. Mm-mm. But low key, if the Game of Thrones ended with her on the Iron Throne, I would be okay with that. I'd be like, well, it was a fucked up show. We knew it the whole time.
All her kids dead. Mm-hmm. Her, she lost her mama, giving birth to the brother that she hates. Like, in the world of comeuppance, I mean, if we were to get hers in the end, I wouldn't be entirely mad, especially after what she went through in the Sept and all that.
I mean, listen, I say this all the time, but if King Robert would have just listened to 444, how much drama could have been saved on Game of Thrones? Because mm-hmm. she said for a time she loved Rob. Mm-hmm. When they first got together, she wanted to give him kids and all that shit, but he was a fuck nigga. So she ended up turning to the dark side for her power. And I mean, look how powerful she's become.
Come on.
At any rate, after all that revenge, she worked up a mighty, mighty big revenge clit boner. Cause she was like, I'm horny and I gotta go work this out. So she goes up in Jamie's room, or maybe he was sitting in her room. They didn't specify. I'm assuming it was his room though. And he was just sitting at the table and she walked in and was like, pull your dick out. And he was like, no.
Excuse me? No.
Yeah, he said no. He was like, no.
Certainly said no.
And she said, listen, we are in a consent-free relationship ever since we had, we got, ever since you raped me at the coffin of my son, I feel like ain't no more no's. So this is happening. And Jamie was like, come on, you can't be serious. And then she was like, pull that dick out and then start blowing him. Right there, and he
with
was
the
like,
"Damn, poison might maybe still on her lips."
Right? Who knows? I don't like. She wiped it off. Did you get it all? I mean, dick might have been a little numb. I don't know. Could have been like some cocaine dick.
Right? She was like, "Look, I am the queen. I can do what the fuck I want to do."
Right? And I'm sucking your dick right now, and you gonna take it? She walked up in the room like.
Hey, how you doing, little brother? Let me suck on your dick.
Right.
Yeah, she was like, where do I see your dick?
Right.
Where do I see your dick?
He was still feeling bad about her. I know he was like, when he woke up, he was like, didn't I want to, wasn't I mad at her for something?
Right.
I wanted to tell her not to stop flirting with Euron or something. I can't even remember what it was. You know what? I'm all good.
Right. She bust out, I'm going to suck that dick real good.
Right. So,
yes, that's what she wrote in there. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna make you get that nut like wham, 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 wham. She was on it.
Well, what I liked is because they don't show them have sex, they just show like them wake up in the bed the next morning. Yo, Jamie was already awake, Cersei was sleeping good as fuck. I was like, what? Like, she was sleeping like you know how y'all ever do that thing where you take a nap and you wake up and you don't know if it's morning time or night?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's, you know what I mean? Like, it's dark and you like, is it 6 a.m. or 6 p.m.? I don't know. I slept so good. It could be either one. She was having that kind of sleep and he was wide ass awake looking at her face. Like, and his face didn't even look like one of those like, oh, I'm looking at Bae and she's so beautiful when she sleeps. His face was like, how the fuck do you sleep at night like this when we do so much evil? Like, it's so much evil that we doing in this world and so many people trying to kill us.
She's like, I give zero fucks.
And she's like, you know what, I'm sleeping good tonight. I'm just at a list like Arya and I am fucking checking it off.
Yes!
I done got Lady Unella, I done got Marjorie, I done got everybody at the Sept, and I done got Ilaria and her little brood. Like, I'm good. Like, shit, of course I'm sleeping good, nigga. Then they get a knock on the door, and Cersei gets up, and this is why I think it was Jamie's room, cause Jamie was like, don't get it. because I think he knew like her answering the door period was gonna be like right. okay, this, some shit is up. And she was like, yeah, I'm about to go ahead and get this door. And he was like, they gonna know you in here fucking your brother. She's like, bitch, I'm the queen of the seven kingdoms.
Right. She was like, you act like nobody, everybody don't know.
Ask about me. And so they, she did open the door, and the woman did peep game. She looked in the bed, seen Jamie. Jamie really did lay his head back in the bed, like, God damn. Like, she really answered the door.
She looked like she walked up there with your grandma and like see through house coat. What you want?
She, and he looked like when Kevin Hart came out of that hotel with that other woman. And seen the paparazzi. I was like, God damn it. I guess I gotta explain this on Instagram. I gotta post a serious picture of myself on Instagram. So then, the woman did notice, and I think she, I'm not 100% sure, but she may have been the same person that noticed when Loris was fucking that dude. Remember that? I think that might be the same woman. So we know she's
seen her face before.
Right. Yeah. But I, then again, that dude that was fucking Loris ended up snitching too. So maybe, who knows who told, who was snitching. But at any rate, she was like, the visitor from Bravos has arrived. And Cersei was like, okay, good. And, we're gonna need some new sheets because we have totally desecrated these sheets with that cest.
These shits up out of here. Yeah. I went in his booty. He got a little messy.
Let me tell you something about Jamie. He does like a finger in his booty hole. Okay. So, I was up in there. So yeah, she was like, we need some new sheets. And, the visitor turned out to be, a dude from the Iron Bank, and he was coming to get that money. Which makes sense.
He's like, bills to do, you know, your bill is so big that we can't, we've sent you letters and you've been ignoring them. Now I got to show up at your front door and be like, hey, where our money?
And you're at a war. They've been wanting their money for a minute now.
Yeah, since her daddy.
Right, your daddy was involved in wars and shit, trying to talk them out of that. I mean, it made a lot of sense. So he came up in the room, in her office. That's right.
My money.
He wanted his motherfucking money.
Right.
And
then he was like, cashier's check, mm-hmm. credit card, Visa, MasterCard. We don't take personal checks.
Right. He was like, in honor of Nick Jew being here, he was like, whoever Sally Mae sold your loans to in order for you.
Yeah.
The company that bought your student loan debt. He was like them. He wanted to come collect. She was like, well, look, man, I feel you on that. Let's just get to the point. Cause he tried to go around the bush like, well, I'm here to, I want to give my condolences. Your son died, mm-hmm. And then
she was like, I'm reclaiming my time. I know that I was there. I seen them niggas die. Let's move on with this, sir.
Right. I don't need your compliments.
I know my resume. Mm-mm.
Right. He was like, and congrats on becoming the queen. And and also that was a dope move how you blew up the sept and now you the queen. And she was like, that was a tragic accident. I had nothing to do with that. And she was like, so the Iron Bank won't the gold back, right? Is that what this is about? And he was like, your father used to be straight to the point too. But you wanna know what's better than Seven Kingdoms? Credit. And she was like, well, look, I'm about to win this war and you got to invest in me because all y'all do is bet on people to win these wars and control wealth and shit. And I'm about to be that person. And he was like, now, why the fuck would I believe that when, she was like, I got the best Navy in the game. And he was like, that's the Greyjoy's Navy. He was like, he's loyal to me. And he was like, but for how long? For now, right? And then she was like, well, also, I killed the Dornish, the head of the Dornish snake, and all this other shit. And he was like, yeah, that don't mean I'm gonna get my money though. So, and she was like, well, what you gonna do, side with Danny? You think revolutionaries and banks go to the hand to hand? She's like, she not gonna fuck with y'all either.
Yeah, don't y'all got stock in the slave gang, the prison,
the privatized prison industrial system?
Yep.
Yeah, it was funny because she was like, you know, slave stocks is down.
Come on, and they dropped.
It's Danny's fault. Like, what y'all gonna, y'all can't possibly be thinking about fucking with her. And he was like, you know what, you got a point that we don't fuck with her. She was like, well, stay here for 2 weeks, give me a fortnight, and I'm gonna have all your money. Mm-hmm. And that was where that scene ended. And that was everything that happened up in King's Landing. Mm-hmm. All right, Dragonstone, the biggest one, the longest one, and the one where the most shit happened. Jon Snow and Ser Davos finally arrived on the shore to Dragonstone, and they was greeted by a party of Tyrion, Missandei, who looked mighty relaxed. I don't know what was going on with her this week, but she just looked so, like, completely relaxed. And
she even talked relaxed. I know that might sound mm-hmm. weird, but yeah.
She just, I don't know what happened.
You got a particular glow about her.
Right? Mm-hmm. I noticed it, too. Even her eyebrows looked fuller. what could it be? Who knows? At any rate, they greet Davos and Jon, and there's also some Dothraki that was there too. And Tyrion was like, what's up, Jon? I ain't seen you since the wall. Jon's like, yep, you was pissing on the wall, remember that? You was pissing off the wall. And he's like, oh man, don't bring that up. And he was like, oh, and then you know what, man, you got a scar on your face, but we still standing. And they was like, yep, we still here, we still alive. And then Tyrion introduced himself to Davos, and Davos was like, you know, yeah, I'm Ser Davos, blah blah blah. And then Tyrion's like, wait, I remember you, we fought on opposite sides at the battle at Blackwater Bay. And then Davos like, yep, that was me, but we you know, we lost. And Missandei was like, all right guys, hand over your weapons, which Jon and his landing crew did. And then the Dothraki,
like,
took,
they had a choice.
Yeah, then the Dothraki took the weapons and picked a motherfucking ship up out the water and walked off with it.
It's in a loan dock somewhere. They don't even know where it is. It's like they got a ticket. You know how you get your ticket for your car, and your car is like actually three counties away. They don't know where the fuck they took that boat.
They valet parked a motherfucking boat, dog.
Yes, they did.
I didn't even know you could do that. I didn't peep that the first time I watched it. The second time I was like, oh damn. Mm-hmm. They really were rude about the fact that y'all can't leave. They were just like, take the ship too. Alright, let's all go.
Alright, give them that card. You know, call us number on the bottom and use this code. We'll bring it back.
It's $45 a day for parking, by the way.
Right! So, we're gonna charge you.
At any rate, they take that shit and Tyrion and Missandei, like, follow us up to the castle. And Davos asked Missandei, like, where you from? Because, you know, she a light-skinned woman, so she must be exotic. You know, he's like, what you mix with? Are you all black? What are you? And she said she was from like the island of Nath or something. And then Davos went over to Jon, was like, boy, things have changed since I was here. I'm like, I mean, when you was here, Stannis was here, Shireen mm-hmm. was in the tower reading books, fucking the pussy poltergeist witch woman was hanging out, like, yeah, y'all was burning niggas down at the beach, like, the fuck? Come nigga on. of course things have changed. I ain't know if that was his way of being like, wasn't nobody this fine when I was up in here, but boy, they done came up. Then Tyrion made a joke, like, with Jon, like, so the Sansa missed me. And then Jon took it kind of serious because Jon doesn't have a sense of humor. Mm-mm. And he was like, oh no, I mean, listen, that marriage was a sham, it was never consummated. So
he was like, I ain't touch him,
I didn't fuck your sister. And he said, you know, she is smarter than she looks. Mm-hmm. Smarter than she lets on, or something like that. And Jon was like, she been letting on quite a lot lately.
Shut her ass up.
Right. Every time a nigga call a conference meeting, she is right there to let her ass on and let me know I'm fucking up. And so he was like, Tyrion was like, well, you know, that's good though, you know. He also told Jon that he would have advised against him coming to Dragonstone if he was John's hand in the north. And John was like, yeah, that they told me not to come, but you know, whatever. And then Drogon flies right underneath their heads, like a couple of feet above their heads, and just to scare the shit out of them. And John and Davos hit the floor, and everybody else kind of like remained standing. And Tyrion was like, I tell you, you get used to them, but you don't. And you know, obviously there's three big ass dragons flying around, and John and Davos look like two motherfuckers that never seen three big ass dragons,
right? And apparently it's the truth, because remember before he left, he was like, well, rumors have it that she got dragons, but I don't know, like, it's one of them things, he ain't never seen them dragons. So he was like, well, I don't know, I guess I see when I get there.
I also love how Masande smile like shit when them niggas hit the ground. She's like, look at them niggas.
That was one of my favorite moments in the episode. It just goes to show like how kick-ass and powerful the women are in this show. Like, them grown-ass men almost doodled on themselves trying to get away from them dragons, and she just sat there and looked at him like, for real?
Right. So then on the top of, overlooking all of this, on the top of like this cliff or something, is Melisandre, the Red Witch. And she's just up there looking at Davos and then walking to the castle, and Varys slides on up, and he's like, I noticed that you up here on the top of this cliff and you ain't down there talking, even though that's supposed to be your man's, and you told us to bring him down here and to ask him to bend the knee. And she was like, yeah, well, you know, it's just niggas, people fall out, you know, don't text
shit, shit happens, you know.
Yeah, like, it just is what it is. And he was like, why don't you go down there and say hi to him if y'all cool. And she was like, my time for whispering in the ears of kings has come to an end. And he was like, I very much doubt that. Once you let us regular people get a little taste of power, we'll never let it go. And she was like, well, I think you and I both know that we are not common people. And I was like, oh, I would love to see them do a podcast together on Westeros every week, because I just love their chemistry together.
Come on.
And
what's the
ale?
Yes, what's the
ale? What's the ale with Varys and Melisandre? I would love it. I would actually listen to him, because he would have all the info.
Come on.
You know, and then she would have the prophecies and shit. It'll be good. But at any rate, she was like, yeah, I can't be whispering in their ear because I made terrible mistakes, which I'm like, yeah, you burned Shireen at the stake and still lost the war. That's a pretty terrible mistake. So Varys said she need to leave Westeros and not return, because that was her plan, was to leave and go to Meereen or something. And he was like, yeah, you should leave, because I don't think you could be safe if you come back here. And I'm like, why the fuck are you threatening her? He hate them fucking fire people because he got his penis burned off in the fire, and he will never ever let it go. I understand, but man, you be doing too much sometimes. And she was like, oh, I'm coming back because I gotta die here. And then he was like, damn. She was like, just like you. And he was
just
like
your
right
ass.
And she like, you want to know when, because I can tell you when and how,
right?
But yeah, she was like, I gotta come back and die. And I don't know if it was prophecy or shade or both, but it, you know, Red Witch telling you your ass gonna die can't be good.
Mm-mm. Now, is it me, or did Varys look like he had a little tan or something?
He
got a little more color than usual.
He must have been getting out in the sun. Mm-hmm. You know,
I was just looking at him like, why he look kind of fly to me? Maybe
He did look a little. He had a little something going on this week.
Getting that vitamin D.
Mm-hmm. So then, which is funny because like literally just last week, Danny told him, we forgiven people that rooted for the wrong king, like your ass used to, and he still was out here trying to manipulate shit behind the scenes. But it didn't work, because she was like, I'm okay, you can't ensure my safety, I'm gonna die here anyway, so I'll be back. Masande introduced Danny when John and Davos entered the court, and she was like, I wrote this shit down, You stand in the presence of Daenerys Stormborn, of House Targaryen, rightful heir to the Iron Throne, rightful queen of the Andals and First Men, protector of the Seven Kingdoms, the mother of dragons, the Khaleesi of the Great Grass Sea, the Unburned, the Breaker of Chains. And Davos is like, this my nigga John.
Yeah, this John Snow.
He the king of the North.
That's John looks back at him like, nigga, that's it? That's all right. You gonna say? She just gave hella titles. You can't say, I mean, like, damn, I kick it with the wildlings. Like, right. I died. Right.
Mm-hmm. He's like, you really didn't even prepare for none of this, huh?
Mm-hmm. He wasn't ready.
It was like if Flavor Flav came to the Public Enemy concert and just didn't have no ad libs, you know? and so, yeah, that was like, and his name John, too. Danny didn't address John as king. I think she called him like a lord or something. And then she said that Torrhen Stark was the last king of the North that they recognized because he pledged fealty to her like father or some shit. And that means that they supposed to have allegiance from House Stark to House Targaryen forever. And she was like, I assume that you here to bend the knee. And John was like, man, that shit ain't got nothing to do with me. Mm-mm. Y'all burned up them men, even after they swore allegiance and shit, you still end up burning these motherfuckers to death. So fuck they allegiance and fuck, me bending the knee right now. We got more important shit going on, which is these motherfucking White Walkers. And he was like, yeah, you burn people alive. And she was like, reclaiming my time. I apologize. For killing your family and shit. That was fucked up. My dad did that. He was crazy. He was evil. My bad. But when our families was cool, for 200 years, the world was better. Let's just go back to that. And John was like, look, you need our help and we need yours. And she was like, nigga, did you not see them big ass fucking dragons when you walked up the stairs? Do it look like we need any help? And John was like,
I seen a whole army of dead ass niggas and they don't give a fuck about your dragon. Right.
They don't give a fuck about the Iron Throne or any throne. Okay. Game of Thrones, Watch the Throne. They don't give a fuck about none of this shit. So she was like, did you not see them big ass dragons? And he was like, look, you not even the type to go and use them dragons because you would have did it by now. And that was like, yeah, we could have took King's Landing. We almost did it and we ain't had no dragons. And then fucking Tyrion was like, yeah, almost, nigga. And I'm like, Tyrion, how you gonna talk? That was the second battle of your life and you slept your way through both. Come on, bro.
Lay down on the ground.
Right, you took an axe to the face in one and in the other one you just got knocked the fuck out right away. Come on, dog. He was like, yeah, we almost took that shit. Oh,
we
shit.
Almost took that.
The echo. What is that? Karen? Nick?
I don't know.
What is that? Karen? Hello? Nick?
I don't know. You hear echo now? I do hear
it. No.
All right, let me refresh. Give me a second. Oh, that was terrible. Sorry about that. I don't know. That's never happened on my side before.
Out the Bluetooth.
Right? Like, everything was going good, and then boom. Echo time. It was everybody in chat heard it too. Okay. Alright. Tell me when to go. Alright, we're back. Oh, I should be back live.
Okay.
Alright. Echo's gone, it seems.
Yes, it is.
Echo's gone, it seems.
No, I still hear it. Hey, Nick Juke, you refresh?
Yeah.
Alright. Yeah, it just happened out the blue.
Yeah, that was weird. I still hear it. Aww.
Yeah, because I'm muted.
Yeah, it can't be from you. I think it was just Nick Jew was echoing for a second. So we'll just wait for her to get back and then we'll do it. They just trying to shut our podcast down for talking about the white man. talking about the truth about these thrones. They don't appreciate that shit. Trying to shut the black man down.
She's back in a second.
Yeah, but yeah, I love the scene. It was long. It was a lot of talking, but it was a lot getting done and all this talking. And we'll get back to it in a second when Nick G is back on the air, guys. Mm-hmm. The dialogue in the Battle of Wills, it made a lot of sense to me because you have.
She can't hear us.
Oh, it says accepting and connecting. It doesn't show her on screen yet. Accepted and connecting. Is it giving her a pop up to say yes or no to come on screen?
Not sure. She might need to come.
I could try to re-invite her.
Okay, do that.
Let me re-invite her. Okay, give me a second.
That happens sometimes. That don't work. She might need to go all the way out and not refresh. You know, just come all the way out and come back in.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there she is. All right, I'm inviting her again.
Okay, cool. All
right, hopefully that sent the pop-up.
All right, you there? Yes. Still hear the echo.
I don't know. Did you change any settings on your side?
I didn't do anything.
Oh no. I don't hear it as much anymore. All right, I guess it's
up.
I don't know. I don't hear it anymore, so I guess we good. I don't know what it was.
White people.
Yeah. That's what we said. Trying to shut us down. All right, so then they brought up all the old shit, and John was like, you could have stormed King's Landing, but you didn't, even with them dragons. I'm assuming you don't want to just murder everybody with them dragons and burn everybody to death. So automatically, I know you're a better ruler than Cersei.
Right.
Which she did kind of look like, okay, all right, that's a little something. And he was like, but we are children playing at a Game of Thrones while these White Walkers are coming for all of us. And then Dany started talking in third person, talking about Jon like he wasn't in the room when she turned over to Tyrion and was like, did this nigga just call me a children? I thought you said that was your man, Tyrion. And Tyrion was like, he cool. That's my man. He had said
we all
are children, and this threat from the north is even worse than what we say. And John was like, the army of the dead is on the march. They real and they coming. And nobody in the room believed him. It was like convincing Republicans of global warming.
Yeah, I mean, and why would you expect them? Like, just like you ain't believe the story of them dragons, why would you expect them to believe the story of the White Walkers?
Right. After he said that shit, hold on, I still hear the echo. Hold on. But it's lighter now. It's not as much now. All right, I don't know. So then after he said that shit, Danny stands up and gives her a speech, and she's basically like, all my life.
Right.
I had to fight.
Yeah, she did.
And she brought up that King Rob was Ned's best friend, but King Rob had sent an assassin to kill her when she was a fucking baby, and she would be sold, chained, betrayed, raped, and defiled, but I'm still standing. I'm still here. And because of my faith in myself, Daenerys, nigga, the world hadn't seen a dragon in centuries till my children was born, and I went in the fire and I birthed them motherfuckers from dragon eggs, and a Dothraki crossed the sea, and they did that shit for me. I was born to rule the seven kingdoms. And then John was like, damn, that was a good speech. That's the end. Like, she won. But John looked her right in the eyes and was like, you'll be ruling over a graveyard if you don't help us. And I was like, oh, they going bar for bar. Oh, so good.
But that's true. He was like, it's not gonna matter if everybody dead, dog.
Right. And Danny was not really feeling his newfound, because at first he had really not been making eye contact with her.
Right.
He had been like kind of looking humble and shit, and when he answered her question, it wasn't very assertive, and none of this was argumentative. But that was the first thing he said where I was like, oh, he flexed on her with that. Everybody gonna be dead and you can have your fucking kingdom of dead people. I don't know what the fuck to tell you, dog. Right. But this ain't it.
Right, he came in here. This is not a game. I did not come in. I came to bring the bells and you're wasting my time.
Right. So then Davos actually got offended.
Yeah.
Which, cause he had been sitting there the whole time, like, but ma'am, but this. And for the first time, really, we got to see Davos step up with what he should have said when they first introduced John.
Instead of this nigga John Snow.
Right. This is my nigga John from the north side. Yeah, he was like, look, my man John brought the Wildlings together with the Northmen for the first time ever. He was named Lord Commander of the Night's Watch and King of the North. And he a goddamn bastard. Look at him. Oh, bastardy looking self. And the, and the people, they believed in him. That's why they made him the leader. All that shit that you don't believe in, he fought that shit. He fought them White Walkers and he's still alive. He took a knife to the heart for his people. He gave his own life. And then John was like, hey, nigga, chill.
He said he took a knife, shoot. John was like, no.
You putting all my business on the gram, dog. Come on.
You ain't got to get all the references.
Jesus. And then she was like, well, I am the rightful heir to the Seven Kingdoms. And then John said, I mean no offense, your grace, but I don't know you. And
right.
Ooh.
Right. His thing was like a black folks say, who is your people, dog? I don't know you.
This whole scene was
epic. Grandma stayed, my nigga.
Right.
Right. He was like, it sound like that's a you problem. Like, your father got a claim to the throne. I don't fucking know who you are. I know your daddy killed my daddy. The fuck I'm supposed to do with this information?
Right.
When I'm trying to save the world from these fucking zombie army. And Danny wasn't feeling that shit. And she was like, that's fair. But just know that you declaring yourself king of the north, it's also fair that you in open rebellion to my rule. And it was like, ooh, we come to an impasse. And right then, when shit felt like it was about to get real, Varys came in like, excuse me, Danny, can I talk to you for a second?
Yeah, like he was interrupting the church. Excuse me, pastor, right. Pastor, I got something I gotta tell you real quick.
Kanye, your wife.
Hold your finger up. Like, oh, excuse me. Touch your finger.
Kanye, your wife just got robbed in Paris. This is a
concert over. Show over. Show over.
Right, this is emergency.
Goodbye, y'all. And so yeah, he was like, you need to dismiss everybody. And she, cause I had the closed caption on, that's how I know. And she was like, everybody leave, John, and we'll take this up later. And John was like, am I your prisoner? And she was like, not yet.
Yeah, cause John was looking like, y'all got my wheels, like, I can't go nowhere.
Mm-hmm. And then, that's when Varys informed her that they took the L of L's in the sea. Last week to Euron Greyjoy, and she was like, what happened? It was like, well, then like three ships survived, Yar was captured, the Sand Snakes got killed or captured,
they're presumably dead.
And she was like, is anybody alive? And they cut to Theon getting pulled out the water and me sighing,
right, like a fish.
Mm-hmm. And some dude that pulled Theon out the water was like, your sister, she dead? And he was like, nah, man, she got captured. Euron got her. And he was like, did you, are you still alive? And Theon was like, yeah, I couldn't save her. And he was like, and you didn't try? And he was like, nah, what had happened was, and he was like, yeah, you ain't tried, because if you would have tried, your ass would be dead too. Right. Or captured. Because you can't fuck with no Euron, nigga. And then they left his ass on the floor of the ship. They didn't even dry him off. They just left him there and went back to work. Like, all right, back to the sails. It's like, damn, they don't respect his ass.
Nope.
Then back in Dragonstone, John was out brooding on a mountain. And Tyrion walked up and he was like, I came up here to brood. But damn, boy, you be brooding good as fuck. Just look at you. It was like, you make my brooding look bootleg, bro. So he was, you know, they had this little conversation where it was kind of went back and forth, but the gist of it was this: we ain't going up there to help you fight the fucking White Walkers. That's a no. It ain't happening. So come up with something else that I can provide you assistance with, or something where we can broker some level of peace,
right?
Because we don't care about your shit, you don't care about our shit,
right?
But you know, we don't have to leave here as enemies. And if I can go back to Dany with an ask, then she will have she can still get out of this looking like a queen,
right?
You know, but because, you know, essentially the way that this is worked out, even if John were to be king of the north, John don't want the seven kingdoms. Mm-mm, mm-mm. So no matter what he thinks, ultimately he would still have to either bend the knee or something, because he don't want to go to war for the fucking seven kingdoms. It is what it is,
right?
So she was like, so John goes, well, look, y'all don't really believe me about the White Walkers. He was like, if I just don't understand, if I heard somebody come up to me and tell me about the Night King and the White Walkers, I would, damn, I just realized how crazy I sound.
Right.
And Tyrion, he was like, so you don't believe me, Tyrion? And Tyrion was like, I believe you, because Jorah's dad, Jorah Mormont, he said he saw him, and he an honest man. I believe that shit more than anything else, and I believe you because you're an honest man. And then John was like, okay then, so help a nigga out. And he was like, man, we can't. And he was like, y'all done took my ship, I can't leave, I'm a prisoner. And John was like, I just want to go home and help my people. And Tyrion basically says, well, what can I do for you? And John says, well, y'all got a bunch of dragon glass, we need that shit to fight the White Walkers. And Tyrion convinces Dany to let John get the dragon glass, and she wasn't about to give it to him, which is funny because she's like, what they want with a bunch of glass? You can't use that shit for nothing. And he was like, he said kill or destroy or something, he right. Do something to them White Walkers. And she was like, well, I don't know. And Tyrion said, a wise man said, no, Tyrion was like, it really, you giving him something by giving him nothing, and then he'll kind of be in your debt, because y'all wasn't gonna do shit with it either,
right?
And she was like, well, I don't know if I believe in this White Walker shit, which I'm like, nigga, you birthed dragons from a fire.
Walked through fucking fire and dragons were born, and you don't believe in this?
Three fossil eggs, dog. Like, it took some faith to believe you could do that, okay? Most people would have just been in there like, oh, it's hot, oh, can we turn this fire down a little bit? You know, I'm just gonna lay the dragon eggs in there, and I'm just gonna come back in the morning and check. Like, you know some unbelievable shit has happened in this world, and you of all people know it better than anybody,
right?
So theoretically, though it might sound crazy, you know
that it's a possibility.
It's possible because you of all people know about having faith in yourself. I think that's why I was frustrating for some people to watch this. I wasn't frustrated with her though.
Me either.
Cause I really feel like she the queen in her mind. So why to her, this is all like Cersei. Someone need to rule this kingdom. And John just came out of nowhere with some like, what about the White Walkers? You know what I mean? I get why she's frustrated and he's frustrated.
Right.
But
he was on my nerves kind of, cause she was white womaning super hard. Like, somebody who has no reason to lie to you whatsoever, who has been vouched for by your hand, the most trusted person in your care, and you over here like, I am a white woman in the Seven Kingdoms, and you cannot tell me anything about anything. I'm like, would you just listen? Could you listen?
Yeah, I think also it's because us as viewers of the show, we know how earnest John is.
Right.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah, and I don't blame her because she can't trust nobody. You know what I mean? Even at this point, I wouldn't be shocked if any of these niggas turned out to be a double agent on her ass, because she got a ragtag group of motherfuckers, you know?
Right.
And she's been betrayed before, you know? So I understand why she's hard. And honestly, it's funny, she's hard in the way I wish John was a little more hard.
Yeah.
Where John be looking at niggas thinking they worth their word, and I'd be like, I don't know, John, just backup plan just in case, like, let's not push this resurrection thing too many times, dog.
And that's his sister. Always have a backup plan.
Yeah, have a backup plan, you know. But she was acting super queenly, he was acting, they were both, you know what it is, they both were stubborn,
right?
But to me, they both had, of all the characters on the show, they had the most reason to be stubborn.
Sure.
Because their stubbornness is why the fuck they alive.
Come on.
Both them niggas should both be dead. At any rate, John is like, Tyrion convinces her to give him the dragon glass. She's like, look, I'm gonna give you the dragon glass, we're gonna mine it for you, we're gonna give you all the manpower you need, put that shit on your ship, take it back with you. And he was like, so you believe me then? And she was like, nigga, don't you need to be minding some glass? Right. Get out of here.
Don't you need to be getting out.
I ain't say all that, boy. Get on out of here.
Right. I just want you to get your shit. Leave me alone so I can go on over here with Cersei. And then even when she was talking to Tyrion, then she was like, well, what did he mean when he was like stabbed me in the
yeah, she said he got stabbed in the heart. What the fuck that means? He was like, oh, you know, them niggas up north just be saying anything, yeah. Daddy, you know.
He don't know.
I don't know and what the fuck.
He retweeted himself and she caught him on it.
Yes.
Retweet yourself, nigga. Like,
I know. Did you favorite your own tweet? What is happening?
Right.
Here?
Shakespeare never said hashtag Black Lives Matter. That's not. I don't think that's a real thing on Instagram. Let me go to the next session because we're right up against the break and I don't want to get cut off. We'll be right back. I'll invite Nick, Jill, and Karen back on screen.
Cool.
In 1 second. Give me that in one more second. All right. Just going to the next section. Mm-hmm. All right. Calling y'all to the session.
Okay.
Preparing to go live. Turning my motherfucking camera on. And going live. There we go. And let me invite you and Nick Ju back on the screen. There we go. And I gotta scroll down a little ways to find Nick Ju. There she go. Alright, cool. So that should get everybody back on screen. Alright, cool. We got everybody back.
Yes.
So then after this nigga talked about that dragon glass, she like, I'll give y'all the dragon glass, y'all got it. And the thing he got quoted himself saying, he was like, but a wise man once said, you should never believe a thing simply because you want to believe it. Mm-mm. And then Danny was like, did you say that shit and just say it was a wise man? And he was like, nah, I wouldn't do that to you.
Yeah. I didn't like my own post.
Right. And then what was funny though, in this conversation, cause I heard people being like, I don't know why y'all want her to believe in the White Walkers, and I'm like, nah, because she is the mother of dragons. I do want her to have an open mind. But she made the connection in this conversation. She was like, oh, okay, so I guess this sound as crazy as me talking about walking the fire with the dragons.
Right, because right. If somebody's seen right. that and they ain't seen my dragons, they think I was a motherfucking fool.
Right. And when she talked to John about the dragon glass, he walked up and was like, you know, yeah, I was just talking to Terry in your hand, and you know, he loved to talk. She was like, well, everybody love what they good at. He good at talking. And he was like, I don't love what I'm good at. And I was like, mm-hmm. Damn, you think what y'all think he talking about? War, killing people,
king, being king. Mm-hmm. He don't want that response. He don't want to carry that burden.
What you think it is, Nick Ju?
I think he was talking about war and stuff because he's like won all of these crazy battles that he shouldn't have won.
Mm. I think he was talking about having sex because when he chopped down Ygritte's cakes and she decided that she was never gonna let him go, I feel like that changed his whole life, you know. So she told him to get to work and shit. Then they go back to the strategy room. And Danny's up in there, and Missandei's in there, Tyrion's in there, I think Varys is in there, and they were like, well, look, Euron, their navy done fucked up, our fleet. So Danny was like, we should go find them niggas and burn, like, get them. And Tyrion's like, we don't have much of a fleet left, for one, and then two, you know, it'll cost us too many lives, and we don't know where they're gonna be, how to get the drop of them.
Right, and he was like, you know, they got them boats, they got the motors in them, like, they don't roll like everybody else, they got them speed boats. We have right. no idea where they are.
Right. He looked at Danny and said, it's season 7, things are happening way faster than they were last season.
Right, we can't be fucking around, ma'am.
We can't fuck with them ships, we don't know what's happening. Which, you know, by the way, I guess I gotta ask y'all this now, because I don't know. And if y'all guys know, don't write in, because I know some episodes leaked and I don't want to know the answer.
Mm-mm.
But this is just a question for Karen and Nick Ju.
Mm-hmm.
Do y'all think there's a spy in her crew and that's why they keep knowing her moves, or do you think they just out strategizing her?
I never considered that there was a spy, but I mean, I feel like Varys, I wouldn't put it past that nigga.
That's true.
He's sketchy as fuck, man. I just don't know, man, because like they know everything. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like that shit bothered me because I was like, well, we'll get to it at the end, but I'm like, these niggas too good. Somebody looking at the other side of the battleship board, dog.
I know, right? And everybody going, you sinking my battleship.
Right. Danny was like, we need to destroy the Navy, and she was like, I'm just gonna take my dragons and fly around till I see them niggas in these streets, and then they go get these hands. And I was like, that is the dumbest plan I ever heard in my life. Not that you couldn't do it, but you just gonna be in the middle of the sea with three big ass dragons and nothing to eat. Like, this don't even make sense.
Right.
So she was like, well then, we'll figure it out. And Tyrion, and it took Missandei being like, come on, dog, you can't. Come on, Danny. Right. We need you. Right. And she was like, can't nothing destroy my dragons. And she was like, well, one arrow hit you and the whole war over. And she was like, damn, that's a good point. So then she was like, well, how are we doing at Casterly Rock? Because remember last week they were talking about we're going to take Casterly Rock. Mm-hmm. You know, the Unsullied going to go there and take it. And here's the thing I thought about with that, with the Unsullied and Casterly Rock. I don't know why the fuck Casterly Rock so important. Now, somebody told me it's kind of like how Winterfell in the North was important. Winterfell fell, and then all the houses in the North stopped fucking with the Starks.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, is that really how it works for the Lannisters, though? Because them niggas have King's Landing. Like, if they house fall, is everybody not going to fuck with them no more? I just couldn't see it, you know? So this was probably the best scene, in my opinion, of the show. Because Tyrion is, Peter Dinklage is narrating this battle.
Mm-hmm. And I thought it wasn't happening. I was like, he's just talking, but it was like actually happening.
Yes. It took me to the second part of that to go, yes. Oh, it's happening. Okay. I thought it was like a hypothetical. And then he's going to be like, that's why we can't do it, you know? But, he was like, look, we about to go to Casterly Rock. The Unsullied gonna get there. But the problem is we at a disadvantage. Cersei know we coming. She gonna have all the men at the wall ready to kill us. And it's gonna be fucking impossible to get up in there and take it. And then the whole time they're showing a montage of the fucking Unsullied, like, charging the castle and then getting fucked up, trying to climb the walls. And then rocks getting dropped on them and dying. He's like, a lot of people gonna die. It's gonna be brutal. And they gonna have the numbers and the weapons and everything. And then he was like, but my father, who he said it was impregnable, but he's a very curious man because he built Casterly Rock and he thought that building the sewers was beneath him, and he ain't want no hoes up in Casterly Rock. It was all men all the time up in Casterly Rock. So he had me build the sewers, and y'all know I love hoes.
Come on.
Okay. So I had built me a little hoe enclave in the sewer. You slide in through a little unoccupied part of the bay through a hole in the wall. Mm-hmm. And then you can slide up in there through my come in my bed chambers. And then the tunnel ends right beneath where the guard's tower is. And that's what we're gonna use to get in. He was like, my dad said the fortress is impregnable, but like a wise man, a good friend once told me, give me 10 good men and I'll impregnate the bitch. which is what Bronn told him. Yeah.
What the hell was that?
Yeah, Bronn told him that shit. I forget what castle he was telling him about that, but I remember Bronn told him that shit. I was like, oh, good old Bronn. He's just such a good, dependable idiot. And he was like, and see, the thing is, the Lannisters gonna be fighting because they scared of the queen. The Lannister soldiers gonna be in there, but they not gonna be fighting for love of freedom like the Unsullied will be fighting for Daenerys, the woman that brought them freedom. So they had a montage of Grey Worm, and this nigga was doing Steph Curry moves on these niggas. Oh my God. Oh. He's
got a little box. He still got that the little fresh smell of box on his little lip.
Mm-hmm. Right? He was fighting to get home to his bae.
Yeah, he was.
Like, no matter what happened the rest of the season, that nigga getting home. Like, he got a reason. So he fucked up like five or six soldiers coming up the stairs. Then he threw a spear through one of them. And I ain't even feel it was racist that the black man was a spear chugger. I was okay with that. Because it looked so good. He hit the Steph Curry long distance on this nigga, man. Oh, it was so good.
It was good.
And so then they defeat all the Lannisters, and Grey Worm was counting and shit, and he was like, cause they ain't having a, like, they weren't gonna have as many weapons, they weren't gonna have as many numbers, but somehow they won the battle really easy. And Grey Worm was like, this was too easy.
Right.
And he looked into the fucking bay, and the motherfucking Euron ships was destroying the ships that they used to come into Casterly Rock on. He was burning them. So now they ships is burned. And then he was like, he saw one of the, like, Lannister soldiers that was still, like, you know, almost alive. He grabbed him and was like, where the fuck are the rest of the Lannisters? And then they cut to the rest of the Lannisters. And they was in a big ass army marching. And they was marching on a castle, and in the wind, in the, like, what do you call it? The, balcony of the castle, Lady Olenna was looking down.
Right. I did not see that coming.
I said, these niggas
don't.
Me neither. And you know what's wild is, I knew Olenna was gonna get it, cause at no point did I think that fucking Samwell Tarly's dad was gonna not align with them fucking Lannisters. I told you that racism was working. When you gonna let some Dothrakis come in here and fuck your daughter? And he was like, I'm gonna make America great again. So he joined. Of course he joined up. And it, and on the army, it was Jaime, Bronn, and you know Bronn just there for the money. And then it was fucking the Tarleys, Dickon and fucking his daddy,
Rickon, and the rest of them cons.
Right. And so they didn't even show this battle, because you knew what time it was.
Come on,
like the golden roses or whatever the fuck they go by, they not known for killing niggas. So
they ain't got, you know, they've already said that their army is not that big, but they got the money though.
And they had an amazing scene, because it was after the battle. But they did like shaky cam following Jaime Lannister behind his back walking through that shit was dope. I don't care. That shit looked good. Like, it wasn't even no action. It was just him swaggering through, like, yep, kill him. They're gonna go count that shit up, put that in the trunk. That's how we gonna pay off the bank. Mm-hmm. You know, and he just walked all the way into this room. And once he got up into the room, it was a Lady Olenna chilling, sitting at a table by herself, in a black robe, like a true queen. And he looked around the room, and because she was like, how did it go? And he was like, as well as could be expected. And she was like, so we got our ass kicked.
Yeah, I figured that.
Yep, Sacramento Kings indeed. And he poured them a couple glasses of wine, and she was like, you know, Tyrion said y'all was gonna end up defending Casterly Rock. And Jaime was like, man, we don't care about that shit. It's really just more for the name than anything. Who gives a fuck about Casterly Rock? I mean, it means something to me because I grew up there, but we can get that back anytime. And he's like, we destroyed their ships. They stranded there. The Unsullied are there. Eventually, they're going to have to go back to Dany, and they're going to have to march on foot, and, you know, it's going to take a lot out of them and shit. So we good. Like, they either stuck there defending something that they can't defend forever because they don't have the numbers, or they're or they'll be fucking, you know, having to march back home. And she was like, damn, y'all niggas really thought of everything. And so she was like, so you took the army to where they weren't. And Jaime was like, yep, that's what Robb Stark did to me when he captured me at the Whispering Wood, and a lot of lessons can be learned in failure. And she was like, well, you must be a goddamn genius, because you be failing. And
he had them jokes.
He said, my father always said I was a slow learner. And she was like, your daddy's so smart. Why didn't he just take Highgarden the moment that y'all minds ran out of gold? Like, because he been depending on the Tyrells for money all this time. She was like, y'all had a superior army the whole time. Y'all could have just taken this shit at any point. And she was like, oh, well, I guess I can ask him in hell when I go there in a few minutes.
Ass in 10 minutes.
Yeah, she said, no more learning from my mistakes. So how you gonna kill me? You gonna cut me up with that sword? Is that Joffrey's sword? And he was like, yeah. She was like, what do you call that sword? And he was like, Widow's Well. She was like, he really was a cunt, wasn't he? And she was like, you know, I did unspeakable things to protect my family, or watch them do unspeakable things to people on my orders. I never lost a night's sleep over them. They were necessary, or whatever I imagine necessary for the house, the safety of House Tyrell. I did. But your sister has done things I could never imagine. That was my prized mistake, a failure of imagination. She's a monster. You do know that, don't you? You fucking a monster. And Jamie was like, yeah, but after she win the war and we got peace, Arab, all the lands brought together, she ruled the seven kingdoms, ain't nobody gonna care how she did it. She did it. That's all that's gonna matter. And she looked at him and said, you love her. You really do.
Right.
You poor fool. She'll be the end of you. And I was like, yes. Cause Jamie knows wide open for her sister, man. And she don't love nobody.
Mm-mm.
Everybody keep predicting that Jamie gonna kill Cersei, but I wouldn't be shocked if she killed him, man.
I think she gonna fuck him up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think that'll be her final stage of evolution, is like, I don't give a fuck. I kill people. I don't give a fuck about nobody. Her son jumped out the window to his death and she was like, what a bitch. Anyway.
Right. She was like, we not even gonna. She was like, we not even gonna get him a proper funeral.
Right. She just looking out the window at the Sept burn, and then she just splat. Oh, my son dead. Thought it was at the Sept. Anyway. So yeah, then, Jamie was like, you know, she's gonna rule over the kingdoms and people won't care. She said, you're a fool, you love her. And then, you know, he was like, look, I do love her. Maybe she out of control, whatever, but ain't no reason to talk about it because your ass about to die. And then she was like, shit, I'm the best person to talk about it with. Ain't nobody else that you can be sure won't leave the room after you done. But she out of control now. She a disease, and I regret my role in spreading it, and you will too.
Ooh, she called Cersei a disease.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. She like, your hair uneven.
And you look dusty.
And you look dusty. Jamie was like, yeah, well, look, I think our time has come to an end. Because you keep serving my ass at every sentence, and it's getting a bit redundant with the way that I can't get a word in edgewise without you sunning me. So can we just wrap this up? And she was like, I mean, you know, I ain't got nothing else to do. And she said, well, how will it happen? How you gonna kill me? And he was like, well, Cersei has some ideas. She wanted to whip your ass through the streets, King's Landing. And she also wanted to hang you alive from the walls in King's Landing. And I talked her out of those two. And then he poured some poison into her wine. Mm-hmm. And she was like, will it be pain? And he said, no, I made sure of that. And then she sucked that fucking, she was like, woo, delicious. She took it like a shot.
Yes, she did.
She drank that poison wine so goddamn fast, boy. She was like, well, good. Well, now that I have done that.
Now I'm about to die.
I'm reclaiming my time. Reclaiming my time.
She reclaimed the fuck out of all her minutes, okay? She got all her anytime minutes back. She got, if she ever had one of those cars that got minutes on them, she got all those rounded back up. She hit Super Saiyan mode as she was poisoned. And she said, that's good. I'd hate to die like your bitch ass son.
Yeah, she said that was my first time using it. I didn't know how it was going to work.
Clawing at my neck, foam and bile spilling from my mouth, eyes blood red, skin purple. Must have been horrible for you as King's guard and father. It was horrible enough for me. A shocking scene. Not at all what I intended. You see, I had never seen the poison work before. Tell Cersei I want her to know it was me.
I want her to know it was me.
Yay!
Tell your fucking sister, girlfriend, baby mama that I killed y'all, your nephew, son. I did it. I did it.
Did y'all feel like he was going to cut her down at any point? No. Mm-hmm. Part of me was like, he going to fucking stab her. like, well, bitch, now you don't get to die by poison. Damn. But she had game set match on his ass, man. She was like, I'm dying of the poison. What else you gonna do?
Right. So stabbing her wouldn't have made a difference. And she did Kendra. She was like, touch my mama, touch my grandbaby, you touch my cousin, you touch my whole family. Tell her, bitch, I did that shit right there. Send a message.
Ah, it was so good.
Yes, it was.
The Raven, right? right now. Bring the Raven in here right now. Let me write it.
Dog, I don't think they've ever ended a show that way. Cause she straight up finished talking. He walked out the room and then the fucking credits started.
That like, was it.
It was just like, and a read. Peace. See you next week, guys.
Yeah, but you know what? That was so fitting for her. Like that was, you was like, if she's gonna die, that's the proper way for her to die.
Yeah, oh, that's the way I wanna die. You know, in the hospital, they give me my last injection and I'll be like, bring in my family. And then I just read everybody. Nigga used to beat me up.
Fuck you. Right. Fuck you.
Used to beat me up in third grade. What about that time you let your little girlfriend beat me up because you thought you was gonna get some, huh? You knew she was wrong. Like, I just do that the whole time. You never gave me that money back. I hope you lose everything. But yeah, she read the fuck out of him. And then I think, and see, this is funny because on Twitter this tweet went viral. You know, sometimes with viral shit is kind of bad because you end up getting a whole lot of feedback mm-hmm. that you don't give a fuck about,
right?
Which is what happened mm-hmm. to me. But I was like, yo, her saying to Cersei, I orchestrated the killing of your son, and Tyrion and Sansa ain't had shit to do with it, that shit does mean something. And people were like, it doesn't matter because Cersei's already on a war path. I was like, I'm not saying it's gonna stop the war, but it definitely mattered to Jaime. Look at Jaime's face. His face is looking like, oh, well,
right,
damn.
Right, because a lot of my sacrifice has been trying to go after them and get at them. So I've been actually going at innocent people.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. For that. Right. For one, you got that part of it. Right. But also you got Jaime, who's like the conscience of that coupling. Like,
right.
And I was like, if some kind of rift happens between her and Jaime, I could see Jaime being like, dog, we're fighting a battle for no fucking reason.
Right.
For no reason.
Like, the second that this shit really gets tough, it's like, we got vengeance already. We killed the person who orchestrated the death of our son.
Right. Now, she not gonna care.
And we killed the people that killed Marcella.
Right.
Right? And you killed everybody in the cell. What the fuck are we still fighting about? I will say this, though. I thought she was a true G for not ratting out Varys.
Yeah.
Because Varys is in on that shit too, right? Or was it Littlefinger? Mm-hmm. One of them two was in on it.
Both of them may have been in on it. Who knows?
Yeah, I know Varys got Sansa out of the city, so maybe he wasn't in on it.
Somebody said Littlefinger.
But Littlefinger, right. Yeah, okay, Littlefinger was definitely in on it.
Mm-hmm. I think they both had something to do with it, but Varys played a larger role than Littlefinger.
No, Littlefinger played a larger role
than Varys, yes.
But they definitely talked about that shit. Olena and Varys, and Littlefinger got together and had that little meeting in the burned out whole house and was like, you know, we killed that little nigga. So anyway, I thought that shit was masterful, and I think if a rift is struck between Jaime and Cersei at some point, this would be a huge part of that rift, because you can't just yada yada that shit when it comes to, you know, I'm fighting this big ass war and this is all because you was petty and stupid and didn't even consider the fact that we had enemies everywhere, not just, you know, Tyrion and Sansa.
She hates Tyrion because their mother died giving birth to him, so she's always gonna have a reason to hate Tyrion. She probably just shrugged this off and drink a whole cup of wine like, oh well.
Yeah, that was the thing that people were saying. I was like, I'm not even talking about her. Like, it's not like,
yeah,
I thought she would.
Yeah, for sure.
Exactly. Right? It's not like I thought she would get the info and be like, well, I'll be damned. My bad, y'all. Like, no, she's evil as fuck. She'll be like, damn, well, he still killed my mama when he was born. But Jaime gonna be like, cause matter of fact, Jaime was instrumental in getting, Tyrion out of jail too.
Cause he loves him.
He still love his brother, dog. Right. Like, not knowing his brother didn't murder his son might mean a little something to Jaime that it wasn't to Cersei. Yeah. So.
And I think that's why she told him, because he was like, I'm going to die and you're going to feel the pain.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. And you can see in his face that I think he really left that room because he was like, I will cut this bitch's throat if I don't leave now.
Yeah, I know she's going to
die. Cry whenever.
Right. Yo,
that's... she'd have roasted him on that shit on her last breath. She'd have been roasting his ass.
Now I really want a take where he cries in front of her and she continues to berate him.
Until she can't no more.
Right. What, you gonna throw hand with me? Huh? Is that what it is?
Yeah, throw hand!
Are you gonna put your hand on me?
You had the whole world in the palm of your hand, and here you go crying like a little bitch. Oh man, that would have been good. All right, we got some emails to wrap this up, guys. Okay. Thrones, this is for my girl Iman, who says, hey Rod and Karen, oh my god, this show keeps getting better and better each episode, and I can't believe we're nearly halfway through the season. I know. Oh, by the way, programming note, next week, is it next week?
Next week
our Game of Thrones recap will be on Thursday, not Wednesday. And that's because we're going to get the crew from Firestarter on. So, you know, the originator of them Thrones. So we got to get the boys on and talk stupid about Thrones because, come on. It'll be Thursday, not Wednesday. So do not hit my fucking timeline. I know somebody out there going to hit me. Somebody going to do it.
No matter how much we make the public service announcement, it ain't going to matter.
You ain't even listening right now. You're going to ask me this shit and I'm going to be mad as fuck. But yes, it's on Thursday. Not Wednesday, next week. This show keeps getting better each and every episode. I wish I could have been on team. I could be on teams No Fucks Given. Olena, OG, Tyrell, Cersei, She Be Crazy, Lannister, Euron, Rapey Eyes, Greyjoy, and the Game of Thrones writers. But alas, I'm on team I Kinda Care with Tyrion, Marjorie, Varys, and Arya. Cersei out here making plans covered in her brother's junk juice. Not giving a care, who knows. Have y'all noticed that her handmaiden now all have her haircut, and that she like Kim Jong-un and shit, making niggas cut their hair off,
right?
And that every time she takes down one of her enemies, she treats herself to either wine, new clothes, or her brother. I hope the prophecy was talking about Jaime when it says her brother will kill her. I don't know. Maybe I hate Euron, but I love to watch him work. He's killing the asshole game. It's like super creepy art. I'm so worried about what he has in store for Yara. Theon should just kill himself. Everybody knows he's a bitch ass nigga now. I get so tickled every time someone has the ability to unsettle Varys. He knows the power of the Red Priest priestesses, and he hates that magical stuff. He hates that fire though.
Right.
Why was I yelling at my TV? Ask about the dragon glass, John. Damn it, Tyrion practically had to spoon feed him. That's true. The question, he gets too deep into his feelings, but props on not bending that knee. Sansa better shake off that shock and get Bran to help her figure out what Littlefinger's up to. He just told you he can see everything. I know it's hard, baby, but come on, I'm still rooting for you. This episode was great, and from the sneak peek, it looks like it's about to go down for real next episode. I just hope they say the Unsullied in time. Don't kill Grey Worm. Crying emoji. Love you guys. Thanks so much for doing these recaps. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, it did look like Danny was done playing with him in that preview. Like, I'm burning some shit down.
All right. We try to do it your way. Yeah, all the people that was allied with us is dead.
Right. Fuck it. I'll do it myself.
Right.
TBGWT Game of Thrones. This is from my boy Leonard Brothers. Sorry, didn't mean to do that. That was another beast ass episode. It was dope to see John and Danny on screen together. One of the things I love most about this show is the scale of it. It was so big that we literally had to wait 7 seasons to see 2 of his major characters on the screen together. That's crazy. Yo, not to mention the reunions. How much more does it mean to me to see Tyrion and John now?
Right, then when you see them the first time, right?
It's wild. This show's so good.
Sansa hasn't seen Bran since season one,
dog.
Exactly. That's crazy. All that stuff was cool. I like that they went back and forth like that. Danny was on some West Coast connection, bow down shit, and John was like, nah, we all in the same gang. The compromise they reached was good. Glad Danny finally listened to someone. One of the things I don't like about her is that she gets arrogant at times. It's good she has Tyrion there to reason with her. And nigga, can we talk about that motherfucking fur John had on? He looked like he was trying to win player of the year at the International Players of Westeros Ball.
Oh.
I mean, speaking of arrogance, his fur was kind of arrogant. You know what I'm saying?
Come on.
My nigga was out here like, can't a young nigga get money anymore? Tell Peter my drink mink is dragging on the floor. That shit was dope. Another thing I like was seeing Bran and Sansa reunited. They haven't seen each other since season 1. Bran was on some Debbie Downer shit, but oh well. His 7 foot tall ass, yeah, he don't look like that kid from the season 1 at all no more.
He won't be climbing up no side of the tower no more to take weekend windows.
Right, not just that, but he look like a grown ass man now compared to that little boy. Mm-hmm. He had that growth spurt, man. It was kind of ill that she returned. His 7 foot ass tall ass was out there also minked up. These Stark niggas are smooth on the low, but that when they're not getting killed. On another note, this motherfucker Cersei gotta die. I am so sick of her getting these early wins. It was kind of ill that she returned that kiss of death on Larya and her daughter, though. Yeah, I don't feel bad about Cersei winning, because I just feel like with 13 episodes left or whatever, it would, like, if the shit went where she was just losing and that was the end of Game of Thrones, it would seem so whack.
Right.
We'll all be like, well, they did all that for that? They just whooped her ass? Like, they gotta give us some, at least a feeling that she could win.
Correct. And, even if she don't.
Yeah, and because of the morality of this show, it actually feels like maybe she could. You know, most shows don't make me feel that way because, you know, you have a good guy and a bad guy. This show, I'm like, I don't know. Bad guys win a lot on this show. Maybe she can be queen. Maybe that's the end. The White Walkers come through and kill everybody. I don't know.
People be mad, but I would be satisfied. I'd be like, yeah, nigga, y'all all supposed to die. They White Walkers.
My man Dragonfly Jones made a great point on Twitter the other day. He was like, what is the motivation for the White Walkers? Because this show is too good about that kind of shit. Like, something happened to make the White Walkers do what they do.
You know what? It wouldn't surprise me, and we probably won't get it till next season. You get some more history about them.
Of course, yeah. The White Walkers they're not stupid. Like, the king.
They have a hierarchy and everything.
The Night King clearly is smart, and who knows? We might find out they got their own language. Mm-hmm. Right now, they're just a big bad that's always coming, you know? But we don't really know.
Yeah, and they was giving them babies when they was out there at the Rape-a-thon house.
Yeah, Casterly Creek. Casterly Creek.
But you know, humanity is messed up. So probably somebody somewhere did something to wake the dead.
Maybe they just an allegory for global warming or something. I don't know.
Might be.
I'm just saying. Yeah, I would not be shocked if we find out, like, they got a legitimate gripe. Like, first of all, Westeros. We the Native Americans of Westeros. Fuck y'all right. Shit.
We was mind our own business.
Right. Y'all shouldn't have fucked with niggas that know magic. Now what? At any rate, he goes on to say, anyway, I'll be glad to see her die slowly and painfully. And last but not least, standing ovation for my girl, Lady Olena. I love that woman and all the shit she talked on the show. Her nickname should have been Redwood because she brought nothing but all the shade. She went out like a G too, taking sips and talking shit. I loved every minute of it, and Jamie's punk ass better deliver her message to Cersei too. I need to see the look on Cersei's face as she finds out Lady O killed her bitch ass son.
He might not tell her.
Oh, and Rod, I loved all the hate you spewed on Theon last week. Fuck that nigga, you burned them kids. I ain't forgot. All right, I'm out now. Peace. Exactly.
Liv ain't gonna never forgive Theon for burning them kids.
And neither will I.
Either I had an ounce of sympathy for him when he was going through that reek stuff, and I was like, nah, he burnt them kids.
Right. Who does, like, I really want people to understand the capacity of evil and bitch you have to have in you to fucking burn two innocent little kids, dog. Like, it wasn't even the right kids. It was right. Just two kids. Like, it's like people keep forgetting. It's like, well, you know, the Starks did do right, but them kids didn't do shit. They was just playing in the hay, and this nigga come through like flame emoji. J4 writes in, what up, House Jackson? I don't have much to say about this week's episode except that I loved it, and I'm kind of sad that we're already at the halfway point. Also, Rod, on last week's recap episode, you said Littlefinger lost 92 pricks, and I don't think that joke has gotten nearly enough love. Thanks, buddy. Thank you. Oh, that was a good joke, man. I made it up on the fly too. I didn't even write that down. I've been cracking up about that shit for the past week. I'm sure my coworkers think I'm crazy. For the uninitiated, that's a callback to Jay-Z's infamous story about losing 92 bricks of cocaine. Yeah, man, it was a good, it was a solid joke. You just gotta let them roll sometimes on the show. I hope people pick them up, but I'm glad you picked it up, man, because that was a pretty good allegory when they burned down his whole house and he came back to King's Landing. That nigga lost 92 pricks and had to fall back. He ain't been back since. Like, let me go hang out with Robert Aaron and them, cause this shit is
back to the block.
Right. Like, he ain't even tried to pick up the hoeing again, dog. Mm-hmm. He done pimping. That's, man, anyway, speaking of Baelish, I'm one of the few who want to see him win the Iron Throne because he has the least legitimate claim. He built his own house because Catelyn Stark called him a broke boy and convinced people to call him a lord. He then took the minuscule amount of power and got Jon Arryn killed, which sets this whole shit off. All that being said, I was fully expecting him to sell Sansa some Egyptian musk or help Sansa open her third eye in that fake deep scene. Yeah, I feel like the writer's running out of dialogue for him, because that scene was so pointless. Like, I think they want to use it to be like, oh, he's just always in her ear. But that one was such a, like, he ain't have nothing to say. You know, open your mind to everything. Imagine anything could happen.
Use some black soap, girl.
You never know. Cersei keeps getting these dubs, and I'm so intrigued. Also, is Euron the only nigga in Westeros with powerboat motors? His fleet be everywhere.
Everywhere,
right?
Dog!
Nigga,
them both got goddamn GPS on them,
right? What is he doing? I swear, like I said, he looking at the other side, like A3, how you know my shit was up there? Right? You ain't had a miss yet. A4. He says his fleet be everywhere, but when you see it next to other ships, it's like a Maserati next to a Mazda. So I guess we're supposed to believe he's a speed racer on the seas, PJ4.
His whole thing was like, a bitch, they kicked me out. I know how to work these seas.
This ship, hey, he told him though. Like, yeah, of all the people on the show, he got the most, I told you niggas what it was going to be, and this is what it is, and you really can't. Like, I thought he was just talking shit. Mm-hmm. I apologize, Euron Greyjoy.
All yeah, because right. His whole thing was like, hey, dog, I went crazy out here. I am the king of these seven seas. Fuck like, what you heard.
Right? He really was like, don't let me get in the ship, though.
Right.
I mean, he definitely didn't kill his brother and for nothing.
Right.
And drown for nothing.
Yep. Shout out to niggas that come through on their promises, dog. Game of Thrones feedback. Emil says, hello, Rod, Karen, and Nick, Jamaica Jew. Let me preface the rest of this email by saying that I don't watch other recaps. I have not seen the bootleg episodes, nor do I plan to see any of them, nor do I read anything that may contain spoilers, so my theories are all my own. Should we look at theories? What do you think, Karen? Talk about his theory or not?
Are you just guessing?
He's just guessing is what he's saying. He don't know.
Oh, shit.
I don't think he will lie to us. I know Emil. I won't trust him. I'm going to read it, bro. But if this shit come true, I'm gonna kill you. based on previous experience with this goddamn show, we knew there would be setbacks for Team Targaryen. The saddest part of me was seeing Lady Olenna go out like that. I love that she told Jaime that she killed his son, letting him know in the same breath that she was responsible for Joffrey's death and his sister fucking his Westeros worst kept secret. First question, do you think that maid that woke up Cersei and Jaime and gave that subtle starter look at the door was Arya? Oh, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I think it was her. I think that when she saw Nymeria on the way to the north, she turned back to Westeros to finish her mission. I guess so. That would be a hell of a swerve, though. I don't think it is.
I really think she's on her way to see her people.
That's what I thought, too. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know, but...
Yeah. You gotta kill somebody to get their face. I don't think she's at, like, killing straight-up innocent people yet.
Mm-hmm. My thing is that she's scoping out the castle to find the best way to kill Cersei with maximum impact. My thing is if that was Arya, Cersei be dead.
Mm-hmm. patience ain't her forte.
If she knocked on Jaime's door and Cersei answered that shit with no weapon, it'd be like stab, and Jaime, you catch it in the bed next. He goes on to say, I was actually relieved to see that the Stark reunion was with Bran and not Arya. Do we know whatever happened to Rickon Stark? Yeah. That nigga couldn't zigzag.
Yeah, he got killed at the Battle of the Bastards.
Nigga should have zigzagged so he got his back wet.
he was trying to run a straight line, get there with that 440, whatever that is, get his time good. Mm-mm.
Yeah, he tried and he's out there running in straight lines. Was he killed in the previous season, or is he still hiding out with OSHA? No, OSHA dead and he dead.
Yep, both of them dead.
Ramsay Snow shot all them arrows to try to kill Jon Snow, but first he let Rickon go. Rickon ran towards Jon. The arrows killed Rickon and almost got Jon. Lucky ass nigga. Also, who knew that the best advice Sansa would get in this episode would come from Mayor Carcetti? As a certified duplicitous motherfucker, he knows danger lurks on all sides. I'm curious as to what his ultimate motivations are. Is he seeking power for himself with the intention to undermine Sansa, or does he really want to marry her? I'm looking forward to Daenerys jumping her white savior ass on the Drogon and doing some white saving to stop listening to a clever man and torch the Red Keep or some shit. Keep up the great recast, and like Rod, I'm team Tasha all day, and not because she fine, because truth be told, everybody's fine on that show. That is a great point. Everybody is fine on that show, and it isn't said enough. Mm-hmm. But yeah, team Tasha, man. That's where I'm at right now. I hope things work out for her, because Lawrence might, you know, fuck around, break her heart, man.
Did you see that tweet Issa tweeted? The dude who played Lawrence was like, who you texting or whatever? She's like, don't worry about who I'm texting, go eat them tacos Tasha made.
Yes. So good. I love that they all into it, you know what I mean? I don't like that people sent old girl some hate mail, but you know, it's still a lot of joy getting caught every weekend on that show. So
yeah, I love Tasha, honey.
And I love the way they write it, because to me, I don't feel like it's any bad guys on the show.
Nope.
You know, like I'm like, not that I shouldn't be surprised, I'm sure, but I'm always a little surprised when somebody's hardcore for or against any character, because I'm right. always like, but you could kind of write it, you could kind of have it both ways. Like, yes, this person fucked up, but this is why. Go ahead, Nick.
Yeah, are projecting. They're not hardcore against any character. They're hardcore against who that character represents in their life.
Right. Right. There's a whole lot of like, yeah, I don't like Lawrence, because I understand that Shalonda Jackson in seventh grade, you said, and you're like,
yeah, all you see is tears.
Right. I'm glad they don't do that with Game of Thrones, though. Wouldn't that be some shit? I dated a girl that had dragons, so fuck Danny.
Hey, fuck them dragons.
It's team incest all day over here, okay? Nothing wrong with a little incest. Y'all gonna leave over a little incest? That's what we need to do. We need to start talking about Game of Thrones like fucking, like Insecure every week.
You ain't never fucked your brother.
Right. Ugh, y'all disgust. Y'all need to open up y'all minds. Stop judging people all the time. Just cause you burn up a whole religious sept and then you fuck your brother, now you a bad person. Somebody poison kissed my daughter one time and killed her, so that's why I'm like this. Alright. Game of Thrones feedback, EVE. Hi, Rod, Karen, and Nick Jew. How the fuck is Cersei winning this war? I made the same mistake as Lady Alina and underestimated Cersei's crazy. Cersei is like a cockroach after a nuclear war still kicking. Here I was thinking, because she had no allies, but Cersei found a way out of it. And now, if she gets the Tyrell money with the death of Lady Alina, she'll be almost unstoppable. She somehow always finds a way out of her mess. Yeah. I wonder if her dad would be proud of her or sickened by her at this point.
Oh, but getting that money, he'd be proud of her. But at the same time, he'd probably be pissed, going, this ain't the way you do it. Like, this, you got, because his thing with her was, you don't look at the bigger picture. Like, when you do things, there's always consequences, repercussions to your actions. So yeah, you got this money, but what other problems that you created that you can't see? Because yeah, you took this over, but now you got to protect this now. Like,
right
now you gonna have to actually send people there, have people occupy. You can't abandon the area now. So now those people that took it over might have to actually stay there, you know, so which means you're going to actually thin your people out, you know. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens, because the thing about her daddy is more like Tyrion, where it's strategic to what they do. She's like, I feel this way today, fuck it. I feel this way tomorrow, fuck it. You know, it's all just raw emotions, and she getting by for raw emotions. But eventually that's gonna get to the point where your raw emotions and your blindness out of anger can only get you but so far. After a while, you got to have strategy, or else, in my opinion, you can only go but so far.
That's a good point. See, speaking of Lady Olenna, I haven't been this upset over death since Oberyn Martell. When I saw Lady O was gonna die, I started screaming and carrying on like a black auntie at a funeral.
She was dressed like one too.
Can we pour one out for the real G of Westeros? She went out with them bars, tell Cersei, and I like this to finally be the end of Jaime's redemption talk. y'all be talking about Jamie being redeemed. He pushed that boy out that window, y'all.
Yes, he did.
How you gonna get that back?
And did it for love.
Right. I mean, he's complicated, I'll give you that. I mean, he was honorable with Brienne and all that shit, but come on, dog. This nigga, come on, he ain't a good person. That motherfucker ain't shit. He ain't been shit. He never going to be shit. Like Theon, he has too much blood on his hands. I meant hand. Yo, remember when he killed that kid to get out of the cell? Dude was all super nice to him and shit. Like, oh yeah, I work for the Lannisters franchise on the South End. He was like, can I talk to you over here for a second? Did people think because he seen show a little kindness towards Brienne, he was a decent dude? He's a rapist and a murderer, and I will never forgive him for taking out Auntie Olena. Fuck him forever. He's too far up Cersei's pussy to even turn against her. And be honest, I hope they die together in a big ball of fire. I love it when Euron shades the fuck out of him. Yeah, I would say this. It would be delicious irony if he was the one to kill Cersei, and then that meant Euron now had no fucking holding with King's Landing, because his whole point is, I want to marry Cersei so I can be a king. And if Jaime did something to Cersei and then was just waiting on this nigga, like, so now what you gonna do? That would be amazing. Dany was working my last nerve in this episode. She stepped to John like, I was told by Applecare that you would bend the knee.
Nobody told me.
All she was missing was the 53% haircut. She tried it. I'm so proud of John for standing his ground, but I think Dany losing two important battles will be the humbling she needs. You see how fast she was to let John dig for Dragonglass when she found out that they lost the battle at sea. I bet she'll be humble as fuck when she finds out what happened with Lady Olenna. I think Dany's biggest problem right now is that she has no general to advise her about war. Well, Jorah's on his way back. Maybe he knows some things.
Jorah's on his way back, and Tyrion brought up a good point. He was like, you don't give a fuck about the Dragonglass. Let them use it. Mm-hmm. And you know what? You're going to end up needing them, because if you turn them off now, some shit happened. We're going to be defending ourselves, because he's like, look, we lost people. Like, they don't know about Grey Worm and them yet. You know, they don't know about Lady Olenna yet. And I think something's going to happen where they're going to end up having to work together. And she's going to be glad that she allowed John and them to get that glass.
Something also feels like with the Dragon Glass, if they kill the Night King, I feel like it's one of those cartoon comic book type situations where you kill him and then everybody else drops dead. Maybe. You know what I'm saying? I wonder if it's something like that, like a easier solution than it seems, because even with Dragonglass, man, them niggas can fight. You know what I'm saying? Like it.
I hope they don't think it's gonna be easy. And right. John's shit was by accident. It was like poof. Oh, this shit can do this.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Like he was about to die.
And Samwell.
Right. Same thing with him. He out there in the woods with his girlfriend and new baby, and all of a sudden he was like, "Think, oh shit."
Yeah, so I don't know, but I wonder if you killed a Night King, because he's the one that raised everybody from the dead afterwards. I wonder if that does something, because that would make an easier solution than having to win that war in the north, being decimated, and then trying to come to the south to help Cersei. But who knows? So she says, while Varys and Tyrion know the ins and outs of politics, they don't know a great deal about strategy of war, which is why Sam, curing Jorah of the Rock AIDS, is right on time. Dany will need Jorah's goddess in the war. Yeah, I would say this, though. I don't have a problem with Dany being arrogant.
Mm-mm.
So.
She a queen. I be arrogant, too.
Yeah.
And I don't know about y'all, but I be looking like, nigga, I don't give a goddamn about no White Walkers. All I know what's real, and what's real is this bitch trying to take over the Seven Kingdoms that I want.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with her arrogance. I think it's kind of that thing where, like, people use certain words against women that they don't use against men. Right. Where it's like, a woman being rude is like the death knell of that. Like, that's the worst thing a woman can do. Like, she was rude to me on Twitter. She was rude to me. Like, I'm like, okay, but dudes are rude too, but that shit don't follow or stick to us the same way.
No one does not.
You know, I've been rude to people on Twitter and shit all the time, you know, step to me in the wrong way and see if I won't say something rude.
Right.
But it don't stick with me. And I feel like with characters on this show, it's the same thing where Dany being basically entitled, because she does think she should run the Seven Kingdoms. Everybody that thinks that is entitled. There is no good person there's no reluctant ruler of the Seven Kingdoms, no such thing. So yeah, she's gonna be arrogant, but I think she's arrogant in the way, like, I hate to make this analogy, but the same way that Hillary Clinton is quote unquote arrogant. It's like, I know my shit. I put in my grind. I've been here forever. I deserve this over fucking Cersei, who's just evil as fuck. And I don't know why that would be used as ammo against her. And I don't know how humble we need her to be the ruler. I don't want a humble ruler of Westeros. I want the motherfucking Muhammad Ali to come through and crush the builders on Cersei's ass.
Right. And I agree. I guarantee you, if a man was doing this, a lot of the critiques against her.
Look at Stannis. No one's ever said, man, I don't appreciate Stannis. He was too rude. You know what I mean? Like, we say other shit about him, but not he too rude. Like, I just don't think that is a thing that we would say about a male character. Mm-hmm.
And people could be rude across the board, but right. Yes, I agree.
Yeah. I mean, but like I said, I just think the optics of it is different coming from a woman than a man. Mm-hmm. Think because in her eyes, why did you come in and disrespect me by not calling me queen right away? And he like, but I'm the king of the north. You're not calling me king. Nigga, you came to me for help. I have the dragons. What the fuck are you? What is this going on right now? The letter said, come bend the knee. Your ass shows up like, I don't know. I thought we would talk a little bit. Anyway, which, by the way, is why Sam is one of the most important characters in the show. He was the one who figured out how to kill the White Walkers first. He was the one who told Jon where the Dragonglass was. And he was the one, the last Valyrian steel sword. He has one of the last Valyrian steel swords. He also learned a lot at the Citadel, which will be useful in future episodes. Unlike Jon, Sam be knowing. Yeah, and he cured Jorah of that disease. Sam do be knowing, and he is important. And I think it's because G.R.R. Martin has a soft spot for Sam. Sam's kind of like him at the show. As for Alaria and Tyene, man, I feel bad for Yara, though. Was I mistaken, or did someone throw doo-doo on her? Another great episode, EVE. I didn't know if they did or not. If it wasn't like that last dude where we knew it was doo-doo.
I think they just threw their what you call them lettuce wedges you be talking about the restaurants. Mm-hmm. They threw some of them at her.
Dose Stacks writes in, last email, and I love this title. Cersei is up 3-1. Yes, she is. Nigga, I have never seen a lead like this. Like, she's up 3-1 in the finals, and it's a wrap. We ready to go home. Unless Jon Snow and Danny start combining. Okay, one of y'all gotta be Kyrie, or one of y'all gotta be LeBron. But do not jump off the ship, okay? Because if you abandon ship, if you want to get a trade when this shit don't go right, you're going to get roasted.
I can't work.
Right.
You're going to be on the memes.
Right. You don't like your daddy yelling at you, shout out to Nick Jew. Howdy, Rod, Karen, and guest. I hope all is well. While this episode is worthy of the high praise it received, my lone complaint is that Reek didn't die. Right? What the drowned guy got against him? Like, why he keep letting him live? Shout out to the crew member that called the pale bastard for the cowardly bastard he is. Shame that scene wasn't them hanging Reek. Shame Euron couldn't swing back around and harpoon him. Is Cersei asking for clean sheets from that maid the first time someone has ever stunned it with some incest, right? Stunned with that cess. Cersei celebrated Jaime chopping those sibling cakes to the incesty smithereens by flexing. Flexing clearly means she is well past caring that folks think what folks think of her. Like, yes, objectively Jaime is fine, but goddamn, y'all are family. Well, look, man,
she don't care.
As Nick Jew would tell you, new haircut, new life.
Come on.
Cersei got that haircut when she got back and was like, you know what? I'm tired of being humble for these hoes.
Come on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna let them know I run this shit.
I can't fake humble because your ass is insecure.
Come on.
On a different note, after poisoning the last sand snake, defeating Lady Olenna and tricking Bayworm and the Drew Hill Team 6 into seizing an empty castle, am I wrong that I can't quite shake this feeling that Cersei's record is looking mighty 73-9-ish? Uh-huh. Auntie Alina went out on the pettiest note by telling Jaime she killed Joffrey, since that means everything bad that has happened since is Cersei's fault. Does Jaime know Cersei turned into Cersei Nichols McVeigh on the Sept? Yeah, he know. There's no way he doesn't know she blew up the Sept.
He knows.
Yeah, not to mention he asked her about their son, and she was like, yeah, well, anyway, look at this map I drew on the floor. Ain't this pretty? Beautiful gowns.
Beautiful gowns, yes. Beautiful gowns.
On Tommen. On the low, Mira probably is as strong as Brienne now at the Dragon Brand's tall ass around. I hope y'all have a wonderful evening, y'all. Peace. Hey, thank you, man.
Thank you.
I gotta ask, what are y'all looking forward to next week? Karen?
I wanna see what Arya is up to. I actually wanna see what the Hound is up to. I wanna see what Jon Snow is up to. Like that transition with him. And because there's a lot of things kind of, but those are the things that I want to see right now.
All right, Nick, you?
I'm hoping that we get a Arya Sansa Bran reunion soon. Mm-hmm. Just because I want to see them like strategize and make a move or something together.
Yeah, I'm a little scared of what's going on in the north too. Because I thought in the preview for next week, I thought I saw Littlefinger pull out that little last knife. And I'm like, who could he be trying to hurt? Because I feel like also the show is not, it's going to either make us work for or not give us that Stark reunion of Arya, Sansa, Bran, Jon. Like, yeah. That would be a lot for them to give us. So if that happens, I feel like Littlefinger need to die, get out the way. And if it don't happen, then I feel like Littlefinger going to be the one to fuck something up. Like, he might try to kill Bran or some shit.
And I'm going to tell you right now, if he fuck around and fuck somebody up, Arya going to fuck him up. Like, he killed one of the mother two?
They do owe some Arya next week, though. That's for sure.
Come on. He going to be on her list.
Yeah, I think that's about it for me. I can't think of nothing else. And then, of course, I do want to see Dany get information, because when she get the bad news about the Unsullied, I feel like it's going to get real. Like, you know what I mean? Like, okay, you know what? I'm tired of listening to you niggas. Y'all don't know what the fuck y'all talking about.
They don't need to try to tell her that.
Right. We 0-2. It's time for me to get to killing, okay? Like, all the people that was around my war room table is looking mighty empty up in this bitch. No more Greyjoys, no more Dornish, no more Lady Olena. Like, nigga, what the fuck? So, and then they gonna need John and them then after that? Shit.
I told you right.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening to us. Make sure you check out What's the Tea with Nick and Reggie. Yes, such a great podcast.
Yes.
Nick, thank you for coming on with us.
Thank you guys so much for having me. I always enjoy coming on, most especially to do this coveted spot. So thank you so much.
You know, you boo. That's what it is. And of course, Karen,
yes.
I'll talk to you Saturday. We'll do our feedback show.
We will.
For Balls D Sports Premium people, we're doing that tomorrow at 10 a.m. So I'll be sending out the email sometime tonight. And I think that's it for now. So until next time. I love you.
I love you too. Mwah. Mwah.